Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
This is my mom, and she came all the way from Indianapolis. Did you have a nice trip?
Beautiful flight.
And are people being nice to you?
Very nice.
Even the musicians?
Even the musicians.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, Mom, we're going to introduce you to everybody here as the show goes on, if we have enough time. But before we do our first commercial, I want you to do me one favor.
Okay.
All right, come on over here to the window. Here, hold this for a second. This is 6th Avenue, and you can see there's the Hudson River off in the distance, mm-hmm. and that's New Jersey. We have a bullhorn here. Should have read the owner's manual. Okay, now here, I'm going to turn it on, and you just read that for us. Okay, let me stick this out there. Turn that way up. Okay.
Testing, 1, 2, 3.
Okay, that got their attention. Go ahead, Mom, just talk right into that. Okay. Lean into the bullhorn.
All right.
Yeah, go ahead.
Attention, New York.
Attention, New York.
My name is Jane Pauley.
Jane Pauley.
I'm being held prisoner by Willard Scott.
Yeah.
He's not wearing pants. Repeat. He's not wearing pants.
That's right. He isn't, really. He's not wearing pants. He must be stopped. It's Willard Scott. He's gone nuts. It's parents' night.
Good evening. Welcome in. 720 WGN. Justin Kaufman has the night off. That means that yours truly, Mark Harmon, and Harry Tynowitz get to sit in for him tonight. That, of course, was Dave's mom, the great Dorothy Mengering, who I feel is a mom to you, Harry.
She was a mom. She looks a lot like my wife's grandma.
Is that true?
Yes. Like a spitting image of my wife. She's sweet. She's everything a mom should be. And things, what I remember about her is, like, Thanksgiving, they would go into her kitchen in Indianapolis, and she would have the mom apron on, and
right.
Dave would guess what kind of pie she baked.
Well, how about the fact that she got to go to literally every single Olympics from the moment that Dave became big, and she's just traveling
right.
around the world as their Olympic correspondent?
It was awesome. Lillehammer.
Right?
Yeah.
And there she is. I mean, like, hanging with the athletes and giving reports. Let's go to Dave's mom out. And I mean, it's unbelievable.
It was a blast the way he used her. And, I'd say used her. The way that he included
that sounded wrong.
Her. The way he included her. And, many people have copied that sin, some good, some bad. I mean, I'm a Kimmel guy. I watch Kimmel every night, and he's got his cousin Sal on.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, taking advantage, who happens to be very funny, but you know, just taking his mom and not doing a character, just embracing her momness.
Yep. It was a genius Dave Letterman, understanding people level move. So we thought that we would start tonight not just honoring, say, late-night television and comedy and creativity, but, like, when I look at a guy like Dave Letterman, right,
mm-hmm.
so many people in this world who want to be comedians, who want to be on TV, who want to make a lot of money, who want all the fame, you don't get to that level most likely, 99% likely, if you didn't have a great mom, or if you didn't have somebody who mothered you, somebody who supported you, somebody taught you right from wrong, but also taught you that, hey, buddy, you can do it. What are you going to do, son? I'm going to be a late night talk show host, or I'm going to be a stand-up comic, or wherever his dream started. Anybody who gets to that level, you had to have some support along the way. So I'm not saying you need to be a stand-up comedian, David Letterman, Harry Tynowitz.
Whatever you're doing in life, you
right.
just need the support.
Right. And so I'm looking for, to be honest, I'd love to hear some deep shares tonight from people who are sitting in their home, car, office right now realizing, you know what, I would not be here without my mom, or I would not be here without, I don't know, teacher X or cousin Y or whoever Z, who helped me get to this point. 312-981-7200. Mother's Day is coming up here. Lisa, you want to share right now? Look, Lisa's already jumping in here, Harry.
Well,
look.
I wouldn't be where I am today if it weren't for Mark Harmon being my mom on my first ever show that I ever produced last summer. So Just thought I'd start it off.
Did he make sure that you washed behind your ears?
Oh, yeah.
Did he make sure that, like, you had done your homework?
I think Lisa's referring to a moment where she hit, like, seven wrong buttons. The station went off the air, and she started crying. And I said, I just looked at her, gave her a hug, and said, it's okay.
Yep.
It happens. You know, at another level, it's funny because, obviously, I love my mom. And, you know, mom, you know, she would have the parties every weekend. I'll tell you my story second.
No, please. No, she's... Lisa, are you good? I think Lisa's good. I know my Lisa. She's good. Please, Harry.
My mom thought, well, you know, my brothers and my sister and I were all in the theater department.
Right.
In high school. And mom thought that if she didn't have the cast party at our house, that we would all, like, go to the worst part of the city and mainline heroin. So...
Rough and tumble Glencoe?
Yeah, rough and tumble Glencoe. So she would have the cast parties and, you know, she would let kids, you know, hang out and have fun. And if anybody had beer, they, you know, they couldn't drive home. They would just sleep over, which was the only way I ever got a girl to sleep over. Congratulations,
at least that happened.
But when you're talking about this, you know, I'm thinking about, like, didn't you have that, like, one friend's mom? Who, like, you know, in addition to your mom, like, my friend Tom Clark, Mrs. Clark, was like the other mom. She was like, you know, everybody has, like, a friend's mom.
Yeah.
Who, like, you know, always came in after school and said, you know, so how'd you do on that algebra test? So, you know, did Colleen talk to you yet? Ooh. You know, so, somebody else who, like, was, a, you know, you hear, like, you know, father figures and stuff like that. I kind of, like, had two moms.
Yeah, your dad kind of mommed you too? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying Mrs. Clark.
Oh, Mrs. Clark.
I had the extra mom.
Yeah.
I had my mom, plus I had Tom's mom, would share.
Were you more afraid of Mrs. Clark or your own mother?
Oh, God, please. Neither one of them.
Okay.
I mean, how's my mom going to punish me? We're going to have to fly coach to Miami Beach?
Harry, you lived the life, didn't you?
I got away, yeah. Well, okay, I'm paying for it now.
You're doing
yeah,
lovely.
You're doing lovely.
You look fantastic. No. We're keeping this all positive all the time here on the day that Dave Letterman, Dorothy Mengering, 95 years old. Like for me, like I could think of there's. It's interesting because like I could think of teachers who actually held me accountable, perhaps when I wasn't getting held accountable. That's like one little point of like, hey, buddy, you're capable of more. You will do more and you will do it in my class or I am going to report you to the authorities. There's like that person who you kind of need when you're growing up. If you're me, when you know how to get around pretty much every single corner, I was so good at getting around the corners area. That's one of them was a skill, but it's a skill as you just mentioned that didn't necessarily help you, right?
Right.
Right?
Right. I mean, you know, sometimes it's better to have a mom that calls you out and says, don't go around the corner. Meet the challenge head on.
Well,
do the hard work.
And now we can go deeper because I think a lot of moms, they want to be like besties with their kids, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so then that can get a little bit dangerous because then you enable, right? Because you want to be besties and you don't necessarily hold the highest vision. Dorothy, when she was ever on the show with Dave, she would go back at Dave. Like I told you I would do it. Like I was watching a clip today where he wanted her to watch some show. She's like, "Well, Dave, I'm going to be out at that point." She's like, "Mom," she's like, "I'll tape it, Dave." And there was a level that you couldn't cross with her. I think that's part of being a good mom, right? They got to have that. You got to have that mom line, the old mom line that you know you can't go that far. Right?
Absolutely. You know, I think what's great about moms are that they will just put up with anything. I always thought this is it. You know, I can't believe I'm in this much trouble. I can't believe that all four of my teachers have sent a note home on the same day. I can't believe that my mom has to have a conference with all of them tomorrow at 7:30. I'm like, this is it. I'm in such trouble. But hey, mom went and we're walking into the meeting with the four teachers and, you know, she's like, okay, so what do you want for dinner tonight? You know, just wow. So that's what being a mom is all about.
So she supported you even when you were
getting in trouble.
Not doing your best. And then she brought it out of you, right? Am I hearing that correctly?
Yeah, kind of.
Perhaps a drop?
Kind of, perhaps.
All right.
A little bit. But I heard Dave's mom had passed and it's horrible. And today's his birthday. Today's Letterman's birthday. And I thought that's just bad timing.
She was in the covering the Olympics in 98, 2002. She was in Japan. She was in Salt Lake City. I love Meg Ryan. I'm a big fan.
Michael Jordan was in Salt Lake City.
Yes, he was. That's correct. Don't get me emotional. Hey, get the stories that make the city with unlimited digital access to award-winning Chicago Tribune News. Become a member today at chicagotribune.com, 312-981-7200. This is The Download. Justin Kaufman is off. I am Mark Harmon. He is Harry Tynowitz. Little tribute to Dave's mom and your mom to start the show, 720 WGN.
How you doing? You all right?
Doing great. How about you?
Oh, well, I'm fine. I'm fine. You look good.
Thank you.
Yeah. How's
Happy
the weather there?
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, thank you. Happy Thanksgiving to you as well. How's the weather there?
The weather is beautiful.
Yeah.
Sun's been shining all day,
That's nice.
Maybe in the high 50s.
Well, there you go.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, so, Mom, just tell me, do you have their traditional American Thanksgiving pies today?
Yes, I do.
Nothing wacky?
Well, there might be one wacky.
Oh, for the love of... All right. All right, but it's is it like a vegetable or fruit? You don't have like monkey meat pie or nothing?
No.
All right, here we go. I'm going to try and guess first. I'm going to guess one pie right off the bat. Here we go. Paul, a little Swami music. Here we go. Cherry. There's a cherry pie. Show me cherry.
Not this year.
Oh, come on! Crap, now I'm up against it. Paul, what do you think? You got any help here?
I had a rhubarb.
Rhubarb?
Hey, you got it.
Cherry versus rhubarb. 720 WGN. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Harry Tynowitz. Paying attention to everything going on, too. Cubs down 1-0 to the Dodgers. Anything happens at Wrigley Field, we'll tell you. The Bulls trying to get into the playoffs. They lead the Nets early by 5, 16-11. And, of course, a lot going on outside of sports as well, including Dave Letterman's mom passing away earlier. Was it last night, early this morning?
Last night, I believe.
Last night. I found out early this morning. So, Harry, you are... a big talk show host. Like, you go to bed every night. You watch Kimmel, then you go to bed. Is that about accurate?
I really don't go to bed. About
you pass out?
2 or 3 in the morning. Well, I wouldn't say I pass out, but it used to be. For about 20 years, when I was doing stand-up, I didn't wake up in the morning. I would come to.
yeah.
But now I'm just, I can't turn off the old thinker. So I'll watch TV, and I watch sports live.
Right.
Then I watch the stuff I've DVR'd. And so I'll watch Kimmel, I'll watch Fallon's monologue, Colbert beat Fallon in the ratings, and then my maybe the most brilliant of them all is Seth Meyers. My son wants to watch Seth Meyers.
Is that right?
Yeah, he's 11, and I'm like, Reg, what show you want to watch? Seth.
But where do you rank Letterman is what I'm getting at.
Oh,
here.
Number Letterman, Carson Letterman, 1-2-2-1, you know, because, I got in on the... Johnny was already on for a long time when I started watching him.
Right.
I was a young kid, and I found Carson. Carson was a genius, you know. But Letterman was like, you know, he was on 11:30 for a while. He was on later. You know, if I had to pick, probably Johnny is the greatest ever. And then Dave right thereafter. But I loved Letterman.
Right. I just watched a bunch of clips today with Dave and his mom, and I was just, getting all sentimental about how, wow, look at this mother, the way she's... A, obviously helped him get there. B, on the show, being a good foil, but yet also, but also being herself too. You know, it wasn't like it didn't feel, at least to me, that it was that contrived. It was actual.
Right.
This is real
wasn't
stuff.
Scripted. It was who she is.
Right. So, anyway, I figured we'd give credit to the moms here at the start of the show because so important to wherever you are in life, doctor, lawyer. Whatever you are doing, mm-hmm. Do it as best you can. Do your mom proud. Your mom probably helped you get there. I think we don't really – I think a lot of people, they just kind of sort of are in their world at times and don't appreciate who helped them along the way. And so many people have done that, including mom number one. So that's
good,
why I was
good for you. And we also want to acknowledge George Clinton in Parliament and the Mothership Connection.
There you go. There you go. All right. Coming up after 7:30 here, the Cubs got their championship ring. So we'll get a little reaction from Wrigley. Sam Panionovich was there. And then after 8 o'clock tonight, the developments in United are fast. And we got lawyers hired. We've got
lawyers, guns, and money.
We got firsthand accounts coming out of people writing exactly what happened on the flight.
We have an apology from the man in charge of United.
Very, very busy stuff going on here. So let's get into news in 1 second, 720 WGN. Just feels so good. Banners flying, rings distributed. On way to part two of the three-peat.
Okay, Pat Riley.
Hey, I mean what I say, Harry Tynowitz.
And you say what you mean, Mark Carman, at the Carm on Twitter.
That's
at the
right.
Carm.
They're winning three in a row, and the entire city is going to be turned upside down. Let's bring in, hey, by the way, my name is Mark Carman. You're Harry Tynowitz. We're in for Justin Kaufman. This is The Download. We're here till 11. 312-981-7200. We'd love to talk to you. We also would love to talk to Sam Panionovich, who was at Wrigley Field and now journeyed over to the United Center to see the Bulls punch their ticket to the Eastern Conference playoffs. Damn it. What was the highlight of being at Wrigley, Sam?
Oh, just letting all the fans in attendance look at the fact that the Cubs are passing out World Series rings. I think my favorite part, though, was they brought up 25 fans that they had auctioned off. I mean, these people were just elated. They got a chance to come on the field, give a ring to a player, and then pose with said player. I'm sure there's going to be an autograph opportunity. But just the energy in the building, it might never end all season with the way that these celebrities are now playing. I mean, it's just ridiculous. I mean, Monday you raise the flags. The four flags in center. Today you give out rings that, 108 white diamonds and 33 red rubies and blue sapphires and the W flag on the side of the ring. My favorite part about the ring, though, is that the GOAT is on the inside of the band on the bottom of the ring. I think that was a cool touch.
The ring designed and produced by Justin's made with 14-karat white gold. Its top features the traditional Cubs bullseye logo, masterfully crafted, 33 custom-cut genuine red rubies, surrounded by 72 round white perimeter made up of 46 custom-cut genuine blue sapphires. Harry, is this is this what you got at your wedding?
Yes, this is exactly, but I gave her like an earring.
The bezel, is that what it's called? The bezel, B-E-Z-E-L, that's surrounded by 108 round white diamonds, lifting the Cubs logo to victory and signifying the end of a historic 108-year championship drought. Overall, the ring contains 214 diamonds, 5.5 carats, 3 carats of genuine red rubies, and 2.5 carats of genuine sapphire. So it was expensive.
Oh, yeah, it's expensive. And, Ricketts are doing it upright. Sam, I love the fact that they hid the GOAT, that they acknowledged it. I love the fact that Monday that they raised not just one, but they raised four banners. Was there a player tonight that, watching on TV, it seemed to me that there were two guys that, got the most applause Monday and got the biggest response again tonight. Was it like that there at the park?
Well, the largest applause tonight actually went to backup catcher David Ross from last season's team. This guy is...
It's unbelievable.
I cannot explain the David Ross phenomenon. I just don't understand it. The guy hit .229 last year, but he got the loudest ovation. And then as far as current players, Harry, it was Rizzo on Monday. It was Rizzo again today. I mean, he's pretty much morphed into the de facto captain. Even though they don't have a captain per se, he's the captain whether they admit it or not. He's been here the longest tenured Cub since Travis Wood has been pushed aside. But they all got booming cheers. I mean, even Javi Baez gets a boisterous cheer. Chris Bryant, Of course, Rizzo, as I mentioned, John Lester. But I kid you not, David Ross got the loudest cheer from the fans in attendance at Wrigley.
I'm a little bothered by the GOAT being on there. Why would you do that?
It's like, great.
That's the reeks of Crane Kenny, man.
Leave Crane alone.
Enough with the GOAT. We don't need the... Where is it? There's a GOAT on the ring?
He just told you. It's on the bottom.
Come on.
On the inside of the ring. So if you were to take it off, you'd have to look under the base of the ring. You can't see it from the outside. It's on the inside on the bottom lip of the ring.
I might have to rethink my three-peat thing. This could be jinxing the three-peat.
When you guys get married, Sam, that'll happen to you in about 10 years. Mark, it'll happen to you. Well, Sam, it'll happen to you in about 10 years. But when you guys get married, the inside of the ring is where your inscription goes. You know, you write something in there for your spouse. So I think it's great that they did that. Sam, it's so exciting now. How about the fact that the Dodgers were the team in 1908 when the Cubs did the World Series celebration and they came back again? How they look so ticked off when they play Go Cubs Go at the end of the Cubs win Monday. How ticked do you think these other teams are getting every time the Cubs win and go into Go Cubs Go?
Oh, I mean, they're all pretty upset. I don't think there's any question about it, but I think the feeling of just pure anger started on Monday night during the rain delay when the Cubs elected to show Game 6 of the NLCS on the video boards. It started there, and then at about 8:30, we're an hour and a half into the rain delay, they do the introductions, and they introduce everybody who's ever played for the Cubs onto the field, and then the Cubs parade through the field up into the stands and raise the flag, and then they walk out with the trophy. I mean, you get to do whatever you want when you win, don't get me wrong, but I mean, there were guys on the Dodgers team that weren't even trying to watch. They were just submerged inside the clubhouse. They don't want to watch that. I mean, the Cubs ended their season last year, and lo and behold, at the end of the day, Anthony Rizzo still finds a way to Cubs rally and win that game on Monday. And now today, because the Cubs split up the banner and the rings, the Dodgers had to watch the Cubs get the ring.
They should put on, this part of the ceremony should be, this team was once down 2-1 in the in the National League Championship Series. By the way, the Dodgers are up 1-0 right now. Right. They're in the top of two at Wrigley.
Yeah, your guy John Lackey, who you asked last year about what his goal was, and he gave the bite of the year when he said, I'm not here for a haircut, I'm here for jewelry. About 20 minutes after he got his jewelry, he gave up a solo home run in the top of the first.
It's fine. No problem. We're good.
You know, Dave Roberts, the Dodgers manager, should make his players go out and watch that. He should make them go out and watch it so they can get more driven. Don't you guys think?
Oh, come on. They're driven. They're professional athletes. You don't think they care?
Matt Ryan said yesterday that he went home and watched the Super Bowl 3 straight days. After they blew that huge lead.
Well, okay, but that's the point, though. Matt Ryan is that driven that he went home and watched the Super Bowl for 3 straight days because he's a lunatic. That's what it took to get to that level.
Sam, you come from a baseball-playing family. Don't you think Robert should have made his guys go back out there and watch the celebration?
Yeah, I think that makes sense. But I'm also of the old carry that if you make your first start of any organization or any, you know, first major appearance at any level, I'm always of the opinion that you should throw Sweet Chin Music to the first batter. So I may not be the right person. I do have two more quick notes on the ring before we move on. The Ricketts, they certainly splurged. They didn't give a price per se, but I would imagine that each of the elite rings, there's three tiers of rings, the players, coaches, staff, they get the top of the line, probably around $100,000 a pop. But they are giving out in total to players, coaches, executives,
front office,
ballpark staff, vendors, 1,908 rings.
Rings and pins. Well,
Vendors?
No, he's throwing that in there. It's to players, coaches, ownership, executives, front office associates, ballpark staff, partners, and Hall of Fame alumni. And they actually made two rings to be delivered posthumously to both Ernie Banks and Ron Santo.
Posthumously.
What did I say? I say post?
Try it again.
Posthumously. Thank you.
Yeah, what do you do there, Sam? You got to correct him because otherwise people think, you know, that you don't know the
word
either.
Trust me. I don't use that word every day. These things happen. I apologize greatly to the posthumous family and English majors everywhere. These things happen.
And that was the second note, that they're going to archive the two rings for Banks and Santa. They're going to put them somewhere in Wrigley Field. I mean, they've got archival stuff all over the field, and they're going to put them in cases and then show them off. So when you know, guys like Harry bring their kids, or Carm, you bring one of your three dates, you bring the games. You can walk by and you can see the ring. So it's pretty cool. They did a bang up job. I think they spent the right amount of money and they didn't leave any stones unturned.
Now, Sam,
For the record, I've vended at the park for about 15 plus years. I think I should be in. I should at least get a pin. There should be a pin bequeathed to At the Carm, just for the record.
Well, I know that the Wurtzes gave everybody rings. They gave rings left and right.
Right.
When the Hawks were winning cups.
If this was the Blackhawks organization and I had vended there for 17 years, I'd have a ring. I haven't heard Ward 1 from Ricketts. I don't get it.
Sam, is there anything in the new trophy room for Mark Carman's 15 years as a beer vendor?
I don't believe there is, and I'm still waiting for my two Stanley Cup rings from being on Blackhawks radio team, too. So if when Carm gets his, maybe you can run that up the flagpole, too, with Rocky Ward.
I would never say anything bad about the Blackhawks, but since the Cubs aren't on the station, I think I'm safe to, you know, complain about a ring. Maybe you have more leverage than I have.
So
why do you deserve a ring? In what fashion do you deserve a ring?
Do you realize what the pain that I felt when Miguel Cabrera hit a three-run homer in Game 7 of the 2000.
Why would you bring that up?
Because I was serving beer in Section 239, and the ball went flying into the night, and people were asking me, begging me at that point for Budweiser because they couldn't handle what was going on, and I had to focus on the task at hand at getting the Cub fans inebriated so they wouldn't feel the pain of 3-0, and that's what I did. And in turn, that all played into the Cubs winning the World Series in 2016.
You are so far down on the retrieval list. You're behind Sammy Sosa for a Cup ring. Right?
Sosa should get a ring. I'm pro Sosa getting a ring.
Sosa shouldn't be allowed back in the park.
Oh, stop.
So Sam, would you say that the energy in the building has shifted from Cubs to Bulls, or is there an equal amount of energy at the United Center tonight?
This is, for all intents and purposes, the biggest Bulls game of the year. The playoffs are on the line. If they win, they're in. The building is half empty, and the Brooklyn Nets, they could barely muster 13 points in the first quarter. It is pathetic.
41-22 Bulls.
And why are they resting six guys?
I have no idea. They're the worst team in the league, and they don't even get their number one pick next year. That belongs to the Boston Celtics, so they're playing for nothing. I don't know why they're resting the three of their better players. I don't want to say three good players, but two of them are good.
But they're the three of the best players on the Nets. They're not like they've got a big game tomorrow.
It's interesting what's going on, too, around the NBA scoreboard right now. The Celtics trying to hold on to that one seed. They're losing to the Bucks at home. It's in the second quarter here, 43-37. But Cleveland's getting killed by Toronto, 43-31, so that wouldn't matter.
And Cleveland's also sitting guys tonight.
Heat and the Wizards are tied at 36, so if Miami wins and the Bulls lose, which they won't, they would be in. So that game is worth noting.
What about Pacers and the
And Indiana's up 9 on Atlanta, 32-23. So if you're dreaming about the 7 seed and playing LeBron, which is what I'd like to see happen, you need Indiana to lose. And that's not happening right now.
You're nuts. I'd rather play Boston than LeBron.
I just want to see LeBron. They're not winning either of those series. All right. Hey, Sam, great work. And feel free to get Fred Hoiberg on with you and after the show to celebrate the Bulls being in the playoffs. I'd love to talk to him.
Oh, it's a big party planned, and you know it's a big game when Jared Payton's here.
Oh, my God. JP's in the house.
He's got a really tight suit on. He looks good.
He did. I texted him right away. I tried messing with him. What's up with your tie? He wouldn't fall for it.
You should tell JP that I'm drinking right now Real Good Juice, which is a glorious anthem of celery, kale, Swiss chard, dandelion greens, parsley, ginger, and lemon. With healing power that'll make you feel like you were born to run, baby. That is the health that JP brings to the table, and that's what I'm trying to do with my life. Harry, Sam, JP.
More reasons why you should not get a ring. By the way, I also love my mom, too. I just want to throw that out there.
There you go. There you go. Nice. And well, you should.
How did she help you get to this point, Sam, for real? Give your mom a little bit more love.
She told me I could do anything I wanted as long as I put my mind to it. Honest to God, she always supported me in every single way, and I love her to death for that.
See, that's what I'm talking about. That's a great share, man. Thank you for saying that. I like it. Have a great
day, guys.
Enjoy the Bulls.
Always a pleasure,
Take
Sam.
Care. Sam Panionovich at the United Center.
It's really
that's what I was looking for, by the way. We're talking about Letterman, 312-981-7200. Dave's mom passed away. She helped him get there. I'd love some heartfelt shares here. Can we get it? Just give me one. 312-981-7200. Give your mom some love.
And, you know, and he brings up JP, Jared Payton, big part of WGN radio and television, looking good now and doing sports in the afternoon. You know, not only did he have the greatest football player in the history of the world as his dad, but his mom is so cool. Copay?
Yes, Copay's unbelievable.
Copay is, Connie Payton is unbelievable, and Jarrett talks all the time about what a difference she made for him. So, I mean, it's just, you know, you're damn straight. I mean, you know, dads are great, dads are awesome, but, you know, just right after Letterman lost his mom, we just wanted to give a little shout out to the moms out there.
Yeah, and let's be real, some dads do the mom role too. So, you can, if you want to shout it that way, you can do that. Maybe it's grandma, maybe it's your cousin, maybe it's, perhaps it's your therapist that helped you get out of the hole that you dug yourself into and you somehow awoke in high school.
Why would the New Jersey Nets, sorry, the Brooklyn Nets, shame on me. Why would the Brooklyn Nets, with the season ending tonight, why are they resting guys?
I don't know, but you know what? We're not going to rest here. We're gonna give you everything we have in every segment here till 11.
Excellent.
On 720 WGN. 720 WGN. We're going to give all the updates on United and our thoughts coming up after 8 o'clock. Really a crazy story. And there's some humor in it, too. If I allow myself to be
some
immature. Actually, right. Well, right. If I'm really going to allow myself to be immature, we can have a ton of humor.
Unless you're a United stockholder.
I am not leaving this studio when the show's over. You'll have to drag me out of here. I love it here.
That's how they used to get me out of bars.
Very nice text from our friend Dolly. She says she just wanted to wish the both of us a very happy Passover. Thank you, Dolly. Always glad when you guys are on the air. Love you, Carm. Don't get offended, Harry, but I think
I'm not offended.
Dolly and I have a special connection.
That's wonderful. Thank you, Dolly. Hope did you go to Seder, Mark?
I did not go to Seder. Monday night I was at the Bulls game working hard, Bulls Orlando, and with an eye on the Cubs. And then last night I had another event I had to be involved in, so I did not do a Seder this year. Thank you to the family for inviting me, but I was unable to attend.
Are you thanking your own family for inviting
you? I am. I'm thanking Joanne and the Schwartzmans for inviting me out on Tuesday.
You should have been there. We had a lot of fun with the Schwartzmans.
How come why didn't I get an invite to the Tynowitz Seder? Why can't I get a Manish Tana from you?
Halala, how's that?
Yeah.
We did not host this year. We went to a friend's house, and we went to Spike's. And
Spike Manton?
Yes.
Why can't Spike invite me? We used to be friends.
You're still friends. It was great. Spike does the Cliff Notes version of the Seder.
Okay.
So we celebrated.
Did you read?
The Israeli, the Jews escaping from Pharaoh and slavery in about 42 seconds.
Did they go around the table and everybody read a part?
Of course, because it's Seder.
Well, do you remember what you said? I want to feel a part of a Seder. This is as close as I can get.
I was part of the description of what's on the Pesach plate.
Did you take the wine with the spoon and dip it into the plate?
I put the lime in the coconut and drank it all up.
Lise, do you have any Jewish knowledge back there? Hang on. Are you not on?
I'm up. I'm right.
There you go.
I love Passover.
You do?
It's like my favorite thing. I actually texted my Jewish best friend begging her to invite me this year.
And what happened?
She was like, oh, yeah. They usually do it like a couple days after Passover, like weekend. So
the Jewish spirit is to have that the house is open, period. That's the whole point.
Always get the afikoman. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
There you go.
For 10 years.
Which is matzah, champion, by the way, which is delicious and underrated.
So are you guys JBFFs?
Oh, yeah. I'm Jewish.
There you go. Well, I thank you, by the way, for the happy Passover wishes. We appreciate. All right. I'm not going to be nice about the United thing coming up here after 8 o'clock. I hope I don't get fired. 720 WGN. Mm. 720 WGN. Hope you're having a great Wednesday night. 8:08 with you till 11 o'clock tonight. Patty Vasquez, of course, will be here. My name is Mark Harmon. He is Harry Tynowitz. Thrilled to be filling in for Justin Kaufman tonight, and also thrilled to be not flying United Airlines. However, I would fly United Airlines if you told me right now that I was going somewhere. Mm-hmm. Maybe someday I'll take a vacation, and I'm going to, I don't know, Florida, Texas. You get the point. Arizona, Australia.
You're flying.
Yeah.
In need of a plane.
In need of a plane. And United is significantly cheaper. I'd probably fly United still. I don't know. Would you? Like, I normally fly Southwest. I'm a Southwest guy. I got the Southwest credit card. Go Southwest. They do a great job. I love Southwest because you can move around your flights. You book it. You decide you don't want to go. You get the money back. You get the points back. It's phenomenal. That's the thing with Southwest, as I try to get a Southwest Airlines endorsement. But I'd fly United if it was cheaper. I think they were wrong. They were incredibly wrong. But I struggle with the whole United Airlines is done from this scenario, because when people go to fly, they fly the cheapest airline that will get them there, right?
The stock has plummeted, but...
And came back, but okay, yes.
But here's the dealio, okay? If, you know, my dad and my brother are both attorneys.
Yeah.
And if some lawyer in, you know, any state USA does something cheesy, does something, you know, illegal, that doesn't mean all lawyers are bad. These people made a stupid decision on this flight to demand that this guy come off and to pull this guy off and
David Dow.
It just, you know,
D squared.
Ridiculous decision. But that does not, you know, mean that every United Airlines, you know, employee should be impeached.
Right. David Dow has retained, the news out today, a high-powered personal injury lawyer. And he has asked the Cook County Circuit Court for an order requiring United and the City of Chicago to keep all video, cockpit recordings, and other reports from the flight, along with the personal files of the aviation department officers who pulled Dow from the plane. Now, some of these guys have been suspended. Another one got suspended today. Two more officers on administrative leave until further notice, as they should be, by the way.
Yes.
Absolutely, 100%. Okay. Another employee already placed on leave. City still reviewing the incident. United CEO keeps on apologizing. Thomas Demetrio, that's the lawyer.
Is he the general manager of the Atlanta Falcons?
Yeah. No.
It's Thomas Demetrio.
That would be Demetrio, right. So this is a big-time lawyer this guy's hired.
Mm-hmm.
He's going for the jugular.
He's going for the gold.
Right.
He's going for the. He wants to own the friendly skies.
Now let me ask you something, and I don't want to be victim blaming here because it was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just say hypothetically, Harry, you were on a plane.
Yes.
Okay. You're on a plane. The plane's overbooked.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They're offering you $400 to stay around another couple hours and then fly off to Louisville. You doing it?
Much as I love Louisville, no.
Okay, you're not doing it. How about
$800? $800, I start thinking about it.
Uh-huh.
But no.
Okay. How about this? We're offering $800 and there's four security guys standing in the aisle staring at you and saying you have been selected. What are you doing then?
I'm probably crying.
You're crying.
I'm probably in tears.
Okay.
At that point.
I'm standing up and I'm walking off the plane and I might mutter something. But I'm certainly not grabbing hold of my armrest and not leaving the airplane.
I would reserve the right to negotiate, which, you know, when players go to a team, like a team signs a big-time player and he's known for his jersey number. So, like Greg McDermott had to give up number 3 this year. Aren't you happy we're talking Bulls? Greg McDermott had to give up number 3 for Dwayne Wade, because Dwayne Wade is 3.
Doug McDermott. Right.
Greg McDermott's his dad.
Yeah.
Sorry, the coach at Creighton.
No worries. People don't even remember Doug McDermott was on the Bulls, but I felt like I needed to correct you. It's okay. Go ahead.
Thank you. So he says, I'm happy to change jersey numbers, but I reserve the right to negotiate. That's what athletes do. I think that guy knew that he had to get off the plane, but he could have said, hey, I'm going to need more than $800.
Okay. It's $800. How much are you being inconvenienced? $800?
But the whole plane is waiting for you.
That too.
Do you know what United today gave back all the money to all the passengers? Everybody got reimbursed.
Yes, that's 70 passengers on the flight were reimbursed for the value of their tickets. That came out today too. Look, the story bothers me because, look, I don't – United was dead wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You don't physically remove somebody from a flight, but I'm just saying, to be David Dow, I wouldn't hire David Dow. He's a doctor. I wouldn't hire him to be my doctor. I wouldn't hire him to be my lawyer. I wouldn't hire him to be my lint remover.
He just wanted to go home.
Yeah. Sometimes you don't get to go home when you want to go home.
There's no place like home.
There is no place like home. 312-981-7200. Would you fly United Airlines again?
Of course they would.
Which is not the friendly skies, or at least it wasn't. Jim, welcome to 720 WGN.
You know, the guy did a good job in hiring Demetrio.
He did?
Yeah, he's one of the foremost airline disaster attorneys in the world.
Right, yep.
And this is a disaster. I also caddy for Mr. Demetrio.
Really?
And he is one of the greatest people I've ever met in my life. And he's not an ambulance chaser. He has a passion for what he does. And I remember reading a story about him where one of the first cases he did, he was down in Louisiana, and he went a week before his trial to watch the judge that was he was going to go before. And he said that there was an attorney there that was dressed in an Armani suit and Rolex watch and whatever. I mean, you know, nice tan and everything. And then he looked at the jury box, and it was all a bunch of Cajuns. And the award was a pittance. And so he went to the thrift store and bought his suit for the trial, and I guess he won a big, huge settlement.
Brilliant.
But he's a brilliant man, and I just love him. And I couldn't give my real name because I don't want to announce.
No problem, Tom. We appreciate the call. You're kind of breaking up, so we'll let you go. But thanks for jumping in here. 312-981-7200.
He went the My Cousin Vinny route.
One of the more underrated movies, by the way.
So underrated.
So underrated, My Cousin Vinny.
Ralph Macchio's third best movie.
And I would hire, what's his name? What was his name in the film? Not Ralph Macchio.
Joe Pesci.
But Vinny, what was, do we have a last name on him?
Testaverde.
Was it really?
Del Negro.
I am slow tonight, like super slow. It was Vinny Testaverde, the former quarterback of the Miami Hurricanes. It was Vinny Del Negro, the former Chicago Bulls head coach. Vinny! And what was Tomei's name?
By the way, Marissa Tomei, on the subject of underrated, people know what an awesome actor Joe Pesci is. Marissa Tomei is great. Have you ever seen The Wrestler?
I have seen The Wrestler.
Mickey Rourke's great.
She was phenomenal in The Wrestler. She was beautiful in My Cousin Vinny.
Yeah, she's beautiful in The Wrestler. You know, she's older, but she's still beautiful. We put no, age doesn't know beauty. I mean, sorry, beauty doesn't know age.
It doesn't?
No.
Really?
God, no wonder why. What would you say?
All these attacks on my dating. You telling me that people don't look more attractive when they're younger?
No, I didn't say that.
What did you say?
I said that beauty doesn't know age. That you could have someone, they may not be as strikingly beautiful as when they were 25, but at 50, you know, or what?
Sounds to me like you're tripping over your words here, sir.
Marissa Tomei is very attractive in The Wrestler.
She is. She is.
Right.
She was beautiful in My Cousin Vinny. She was attractive in The Wrestler. Beautiful in My Cousin Vinny. Can you get him? Can you come with me? Can you jump on that train? I'm not asking for a whole lot.
Mickey Rourke is great. Marissa Tomei is great. And and you get a Springsteen song at the end of the movie.
Listen,
every movie should end with the Springsteen song.
For the record, I'm attracted to women that are much, much older than me. There are beautiful women.
Name three women that are 50 or older that you find attractive.
That 50 or older that I find attractive. Madonna. Mm-hmm. Let me go with Mark Knopfler. And who is the... Who did he do the duet with?
What are you talking
about? The country singer that he did
Mark
the duet
Knopfler
with.
Mark Knopfler from Dire Straits?
No. Yes, he did an album with...
Olivia Newton-John.
No. Oh, you know what? Lisa's saying she'll Google it. You probably don't know how to spell Mark Knopfler. It's Knopfler.
K.
Emmylou Harris is who I'm thinking of.
Oh, yeah.
All right?
She's beautiful.
Emmylou Harris is like 70 years old, and she's beautiful.
Don't I make my brown eyes blue.
There you go. So that's two. Who else off the top of my head that's beautiful? How old is Halle Berry these days? She's got to be close to pushing 52.
Yeah, she's probably close.
Right?
I can look that one up.
312-981-7200. Katie wants to fight for United. I think against United Airlines because the flight was at 2:30 the next day. What's up, Katie?
Hi. How are you?
We're great. How are you?
good. The whole United thing is very entertaining to me. I mean,
me too.
Disturbing, but entertaining. But when you were talking about what would it take you to, you know, if their guys are standing there, I'd have to say, you know, the difference with what you said. You'd said the flight was a couple hours later, but it was actually not till 2:30 the next day.
Okay, what's it worth for you? What's it worth for you 2:30 the next day, Katie?
I mean, I think they should have kept upping the ante or offering it to someone else on that plane, because I've been bumped many, many times. I offer to be bumped all the time.
Me too.
But not if I was supposed to work and needed, you know, had my husband's a doctor, so I had to see patients or had surgery. You know, I'd probably be more like 1,000, 1,500, something like that.
Okay.
I would have discussed it, you know.
But let me ask you this, though, Katie. I think we can can we all agree that if you were there and the offer was $800 and there was four security guards standing over you, Katie, you have been selected. Would you hold on to the arm rail? Or would you get up and pack up your stuff and mutter something?
Oh, yeah, no, I'd get up and I'd be standing at the gate and, you know, out there. Once I miss my flight, you know, I agree with you. I would be up and out of there. I would not wait till they dragged me out.
I will
no question.
I will say this, Katie. Coming home, I think that, you know, you just, you know, as much as you just want to get home, I think you're more likely to take the money when you're on your way out. I think when you're departing, you're more likely to, you know, I mean, granted, you could
not
have
me.
Something yet.
I don't want to come home. I want to go.
No, I'm with you. I agree. I'm never in a hurry to get home. I'll always get bumped. here's an example, though. When my husband and I were coming up, we had just gotten married. This is 22 years ago. We were offered to be bumped from Palm Beach. We were getting in 3 hours later, and 22 years ago, they offered us $750 each.
Nice.
So I don't think 800 is such a great.
It's chump change. Like, chump change.
Yeah, chump change. I mean, this is. So I think that I find it disturbing that it even got to the point where they ever. You know, these security guys probably had no idea why they were pulling this guy off. They were probably told, go take this guy and haul him out of there. They probably didn't even know what the backstory was. But the fact that they got these people on the plane and hadn't already upped it to, you know, 1,000 a person, you know, this or that and the other thing. Because I can tell you, there's a family on there that you want 3 seats, 4 seats, and they put, you know, $3,000 in their pocket. They're going to take it.
Yep.
I just think, I think they, it was handled wrong on so many levels. And, you know, I think it's going to be a real expensive. And I know Demetrio and Corboy, we have a friend who works with them as one of the partners there. And they're going to get a lot of money, let me tell you.
Yes, they are. Hey, Katie, I'd fly with you anytime. Yeah. We got to go to a break, but let's.
Okay,
thank you.
Philip.
I got to get a. It's incredible. Yes. I have to get approval from the caller to go to break. That's the level that I operate on. It's like I make Katie the program director.
Well,
Katie, I really have to go. I'm really sorry. Thank you so much for calling. Aren't we just so sweet, Harry?
Yes, I see. Even if there's four guys around me and they say, sir, you're getting 800, you have to go, I'm negotiating. I'm sorry, the Jew in me is coming out.
Oh, boy.
You know, am I going to the motel across the street from the airport, or am I staying at the Ritz?
Right. And in that scenario, I'd be like, sir, sit back down. Not dealing with you. Listen, you, 900, right. We got the Hilton across the street. I got chocolate cake for you. You're going to live the dream, and then you're sitting there, and then you're going to be in all sorts of guilt. Oh, my God, I could have been in the Hilton across the street, could have had chocolate cake. They probably would have given me milk and the whole deal.
Chocolate cake, you could drop it to like 600.
720 WGN. Bonnie texting in, yes, I would fly United, no problem, 720 WGN. Little Bruce for you, Harry. Harry's up and dancing and playing the air guitar. He's a wild man. You, wearing his Argyle long-sleeve sweater shirt. You are an old man, aren't you?
I'm secure enough in my masculinity to wear this shirt.
You look good. Lise, does he look good? That's kind of a lame outfit, isn't it? You need a darker jean. That's the biggest thing I want for you. I want darker blue jeans in your life. The light jean that just reeks of dead.
First of all.
Yeah.
We're
talking United,
by the
way.
I'm wearing jeans and a shirt. I'm not wearing an outfit.
It's still an outfit.
Second of all, that's your outfit. I get some Bruce juice, and you're trying to bring me down.
Oh, I apologize. That's just rude. It was rude. Here, we'll bring you back up. Well, you don't have to talk to me. Let's talk to John. Hey, but we're talking United, and David Dow is suing for gazillions, and he's hired the greatest lawyer ever. I feel bad that David Dow was dragged off the plane, but I'm just not. I cannot support the actions of David Dow. It would be against my sense of how I would go about being a human being. You want me off the plane? Your security. I get off the plane, and I take what they're giving me in the scenario. Now they should have upped the offer.
Yes.
The maximum. We all learned, which was interesting. Rob Martier pointed this out before. We all learned $1,350 is the maximum they can offer. Now, why there would ever be a maximum, I don't exactly know, but that is like written in somewhere in the bumping flight manual rule book. $1,350.
If you're at a big powwow of CEOs of the other airlines, the first person that I'm going up to and complaining about this situation to is Oscar Munoz, the CEO of United, because now everybody knows what their rights are as passengers.
Well, if they're paying, yeah, if they're paying attention, and they do. Yes,
and,
you're correct.
And JetBlue is giving people that owe taxes free flights, free return flights.
Really?
Yeah, because this is now like they're the anti-United.
JetBlue is a fine airline. I've flown it once. It was a wonderful experience. I recommend JetBlue. Can we get John in here? I want to service the people. John says accountability actions of six-year-old. I don't know what that means, but it seems interesting. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm just wondering why no one has actually taken this doctor's accountability into this when his behavior was the equivalent of a six-year-old child throwing a tantrum.
Thank
saying,
you.
I'm not going to go.
Thank you. That's what we're doing right here, John. It was meant to be that Justin Coffin will be off tonight, and we could sit here and say that you would make this phone call. You're doing it right now. Congratulations. He acted like a six-year-old.
It was
what a six-year-old would do, would grab the seat and say, no, I'm not going.
No. The guy legit went tantrum on a United flight in front of 70 people. And he got what he didn't deserve. He did not deserve it. Let's be clear. I'm not saying that. I don't think you are either. But I'm not either.
The police could have handled that differently as well without laying a finger on them. Now, I've been on a flight where they say there's a five-minute delay and you're already boarded and you hear all the groans. All the police would have had to do was say, well, listen, everybody, the plane's not going to move until this guy gets off.
Ooh. I don't think he would have
turned against that doctor guy.
I don't know, John. We appreciate the phone call. I think they might have been there all night.
John, thanks for the call. You know, it's funny. John saying that reminds me. I was on a flight coming back from Syracuse once in the cold, and they're like, we have to wait an hour to defrost the wings.
Please.
And all the passengers are like, oh, like, guys, it's worth the wait.
I'm like, listen, I'll stay all night. When they start bringing out that defrosting equipment,
yeah,
take your time. Please get it right. I don't know what I'm hearing.
This is the video.
That's him screaming.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
This is him literally getting dragged out of the plane, down the aisle. Where the beverage cart should be.
Martyr, you know you laughed at it. I know you did.
Numerous times, man. Numerous times. I'm just wondering how many Halloween costumes there are going to be of this guy going,
ah! Glasses askew.
All right, I feel terrible. We have to take a break. 720 WGN. Little Tin Lizzy for you, Harry. The boys are back in town, buddy.
Yep.
720 WGN. Hope you're having a great Wednesday night. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Harry Tynewitz.
That chick don't want to go. Just forget her.
Talking a little United here. You want to sing more? You can if you want before we get back. And, hey, we're looking for your airline horror stories. Worst experience you ever had on a flight. 312-981-7200. You tell us something really good, we'll find a prize for you. Lee's handing me the prize thing. I can't find it. It's somewhere here. Oh, here we go. We got a pair of tickets to the Tony Award-winning musical, Disney's Mary Poppins.
Oh, very nice.
You love a Mary Poppins, right?
I took my daughter to see Mary Poppins.
It's playing now through May 28th at the Mercury Theater, Chicago.
Chim, chiminy, chim, chim, chiri.
Buy me a something.
Buy me a what?
What's the next lyric there? What's the next line?
Life is something about life. Chim chiminy, chim chiminy, chim chiminy.
I thought it was like buy me a cherry and let's play in a tree. No?
Isn't it when you're with a sweep, you're in fair company?
Oh, look at you.
Isn't that how that goes?
Rob from way downtown.
Martyr.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
For the win. A good interview from the text line will be if you can get the people who are actually bumped off the flight onto your radio show. I was requesting that. We've been trying to track down.
Or bump wills.
we've been trying to track down. There was a guy who wrote a piece on it. In the Tribune letter, I was on United Flight 3411. Unfortunately, I was aboard United Flight 3411 from Chicago to Louisville on Sunday. Even more unfortunate was the fact that I was returning from spring break. Yes?
Okay, I want to stop this guy immediately. When you say it like that, when you write like that, I just think of tragedy.
Right, it's true.
You know, okay, this is not a tragedy. You were inconvenienced. The guy made a fool of himself, but this is not a tragedy. You know? There he goes.
Let me finish. So maybe you'll change your mind. I don't think you will. And I agree with what you're saying. It's right. Let's not get completely crazy here. The plane didn't crash. Even more unfortunate was the fact that I was returning from a spring break trip with seven of my students from Louisville Mayo High School, who also witnessed the unconscionable treatment of the passenger. And it was unconscionable. It was brutal.
Is that a boys-only high school, or is that a high school for future postmen?
I think this would be M-A-L-E, so that would be boys. But right, good clarification there. I know you were joking, but you never know. People, way to show that there could be another possibility, Harry. The disgusting mishandling of the situation included everyone from the rude ticket agent who demanded that this man give up a seat on the flight United overbooked, to one of the officers laughing in the midst of the incident, to the violent, abusive way the passenger was dragged off the plane by the officer. It was the worst possible model for my students and, frankly, was traumatizing to many of us who watched this from such close proximity. I believe all that. I'm sure it was. I 100% believe him. So we actually are trying to track this gentleman down.
I believe him, too, but I'm just saying, you know, I was on that flight. Don't give the number. When I hear that, the listener infers. I infer that there's a tragedy. You know, when I hear United Flight 3411.
Right. Well, okay. Perhaps he could have chosen to not put that in there. I hear what you're saying.
But again,
like hearing first-hand accounts. Give me a first-hand account.
Turn it into a positive. They saw.
That's right.
The high school kids saw the worst possible way you could handle something. Make that a life lesson.
Make it a life lesson. Maybe you could have stepped in. Maybe you could have been a better leader.
Well, now you know what not to do.
Right. And there you go. And listen, life, crazy things happen and you can't predict it.
Right. Do the opposite.
There you go.
I'm having chicken salad on raisin bread.
Don't know what that's from.
Seinfeld.
Oh, okay.
Doing the opposite.
I thought we were almost going into like a Jack Nicholson. What's that movie with the toast? He wants his toast.
that's Five Easy Pieces.
Five Easy Pieces. Right. References from 1976 for 4,300.
And how appropriate on National Grilled Cheese Day.
Good point. We're having grilled cheeses. Our coming in studio with a chef from the Green Door Tavern who was here at 9:30 in the morning. He was supposed to come at 9:30 at night. He's coming back. He was in Stephanie's office at 9:30 with the grilled cheese.
And I hope she called me up. She's like,
your grilled cheese is here. I'm like, that's Harry's guest. Call Harry.
Oh, something goes wrong.
Well. But it was your guest, and it was kind of your fault, maybe. I don't know.
I take full responsibility.
Lee wants to talk United on 720 WGN. He has the question on the screen. What if you're with your family? Go ahead, Lee.
Yeah, I was just thinking, I travel with my family, and I tell you, I wasn't aware that they would even take your seat. You think when you buy something, you pay for it, you know, you're on the flat for a reason at that time. So I guess what if you're with your family and they tell you, you know what, you got to give up your seat. Do you pull your whole family off the plane?
Boy,
they're not going to kick you off if you have your family there. They might. You could if they wanted four seats and it was you and your wife and two kids, and they were offering $800, that'd be $3,200 for your family if you wanted to do that. But they wouldn't separate you from your family, Lee.
Lee, it's a very good question because I'm not sure. I mean, you know, they could say, you know, hey, your mom, you know, the mom will watch the kids and you need to come off. It depends how randomly they selected this
guy. I am taking a leap of faith here that they wouldn't do that. I think I'm right.
But okay.
Are you, Lee, do you travel with your family often?
Yeah. You know, we do like every other year, we do a trip to, you know, Disney World or something, you know, with the kids.
Good dad.
I was never aware that that could even happen. So I may have been one of those people that said no, just because of the fact I'm like, I paid for my seat. I expect to keep my seat. So
right.
I don't know if I would have went to the extent that he did. I mean, you know, like you said, when you got airport security on you, you're like, I don't want to get a felony for trying to take a damn vacation.
I've never seen it happen.
Well said.
I've never seen it happen once you're on the flight. I've seen them make the announcement before you board.
Right.
You know, we've oversold, we've overbooked, we need, Harry, you're overserved. We need a volunteer. I've heard them make the announcement before you board. I've never seen them go onto a plane.
And I've seen it, too, where you're on, I've never seen that, but I have been on the plane and them announce, hey, we're looking for somebody to jump off. And people inevitably always jump off.
One time my wife and I were coming back from Miami. And they said, we need volunteers. You get $500 a piece and two tickets on any flight anywhere we go. They offered us cash and flight, and we just wanted to get home. But we had to stay over till the morning.
Right.
And we said no. Right. And then the next morning we woke up and said, oh, we're idiots.
Hey, Lee, the next time you go to Disneyland, Disney World, or wherever you're taking your family, would you fly United if it was the cheapest?
If it was the cheapest, yes. And I tell you this, if they say we're going to offer you $1,300 a piece, I'm like, kids, let's get off.
Dad of the year, Lee.
Vacation just got a lot better.
They'll learn a lesson. It's a beautiful, there's a yeah. beautiful O'Hare Hilton.
Hey, now you can afford Disney World.
Thanks for calling, Lee.
Right, we might even get a rental car.
See you, Lee.
Thank you.
312-981-7200. Let's get one more here, and then we'll hear airline horror stories. I know, Harry, you've got one.
I'm looking at the screen. We got some good ones.
Cicero, welcome to 720 WGN. What's up, man?
Hey, how you doing? I always enjoy your show. Love you guys, especially last summer. I couldn't get out of the house on the weekend because I'm listening to you in the backyard on a hot summer sunny day.
God bless you, Cicero.
But there's no, out of any of the conversations, nobody has said anything about the walkover rule. They can walk you over to the next airline, and that's also true with the hotels. And I can't believe out of 70 people, everybody makes $800 for so many hours. I mean, how many people, I mean, that many poor people on the plane? Because a millionaire would have taken $800.
That's why he's a millionaire, right? He knows.
A millionaire would have taken the money.
Right, he knows the value. You're going to pay me $800, and I'm going to get put up in a hotel, and I'm going to go swimming, or I'm going to go to dinner. I'm good. Right.
I'm good. Exactly. Yeah. And no employees thought about a lawsuit.
Yeah.
And I used to fly every 2-3 weeks.
Right.
And I've never seen it go that high, $800. People are going for the first $200. For the first round trip ticket to the next empty plane.
Cicero, we appreciate the call, man. Hey, next time you're on a flight, though, just don't jump at that 200 because they're going to up it for you, Cicero.
I haven't done that in 40 years.
Thank you, Cicero. Appreciate you.
Cicero, hello.
Hello. Well, a little Larry King, I don't know.
Yes.
Are you a Larry King guy?
Who is a Larry King guy?
He's a little weird.
He's been married like 9 times.
Is that it?
I think so.
Well, you know, he's
keeping the faith.
Wants to have experience. So give me your hair. Well, actually, quick timeout. We'll do airline horror stories.
Yeah, we got some good ones. We got Esther. We got Marie. We got
Harry.
Jim. We got Harry and Carm.
I know you've got a good one. I don't have one on a plane, but I got a great one on a boat. So I'm going to make that leap from the plane to the boat.
Couldn't you have just said it happened on a plane?
I'm an honest guy. I have to be authentic, Harry.
Well, too bad we're not doing boat horror stories.
720 WGN. 720 WGN. Hope you're having a great Wednesday night. Airline horror stories for 1,000 Alex. Here till 11. Harry Tynowitz getting all the movies. We're going to do a Rolling Stones tribute coming up here after 9 o'clock. Steve Johnson's going to be with us.
Steve Johnson from your Chicago Tribune.
Bam.
Oh, man, it's going to be awesome.
Bam. Let's talk to you right now as we do airline horror stories. Who do you like here there, Lise? Let's get Esther Was Esther, were you 8 months pregnant and then you were in the back of the plane? Is that true, Esther?
Back of the plane, and I literally was crying the whole flight because the smell and the stench of everybody coming in and out of the bathroom was just so terrible. I was, like, nauseous the whole entire flight.
Did you throw up?
Terrible.
If you're the gate agent, if you're the gate agent and you have an 8 month woman who's near 8 month of pregnancy, don't you say I'm not going to put her near the bathroom?
Maybe they were thinking that she might have to go to the bathroom. Esther, we feel your pain. I thank you for sharing, Esther. Maybe they thought that, you know, he put Esther by the bathroom because she might have to go to the bathroom.
Boy, I saw 8 months pregnant. I was waiting for, like, you know, I went into labor. Yeah. I felt a kick, you know.
I got you. Hold on here. Marie, welcome to 720 WGN. Go ahead.
Hi, good evening.
Hello, Marie.
Hi. So, quick story. It's not so much a travel horror story so much as another example of the lack of human decency when flying. So, it was a Thursday night flight late out of LaGuardia to Chicago. So, if you ever take LaGuardia to Chicago on a Thursday night, it's pretty packed to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So we all get on board and we're sitting down in our seats and the flight attendant gets on and says, can the person who left their bag in the middle of the aisle please remove it so we can close the bins and depart?
Okay.
5-10 minutes goes by, nobody claims the bag. She makes another announcement. And then about 15 minutes later, she gets the bag and sees the gentleman's name and calls his name out.
Wow.
And the poor gentleman, who was the fifth person to board the plane, had put his bag in the bin, sat in his seat, and took out his paper and was just minding his own business. Somebody throughout the boarding process took his bag out of his spot.
Great move.
Placed their bag up there and left it in the aisle.
Great move. So, what a genius.
Yeah. I mean, come on now. And we were about maybe 25, 30 minutes late to departing because some jerk just thought he wanted to put his bag up in that bin so he wouldn't have to check it.
Now, that is bold. That is super bold.
And so a lot of pressure these days to make sure you're the first on the plane to get space in those bins.
You would have to, like, to not get caught there, and thanks for the call, Marie, you'd almost have to, like, take it out, put it down, slide it over, put it up, like, because otherwise they're going to know that it's your bag.
I worked with a comic, and he's obviously joking. That's what comics do. I worked with a comic named Steve Kelly. And he said, did you ever notice the size of a screaming baby on an airplane is the exact same size as one of those overhead compartments?
Well, I get that sentiment. That can alter a flight, the screaming baby. Let me, as we move on here, I want one etiquette question that I'm going to out myself on. When you get on the plane, right?
Yeah.
It's a morning flight.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you're going to California. You got 4 hours. You got up in the morning, got in the shower, right? Perhaps even you showered at night, but I'm going to say I showered in the morning. I get to my flight. I got clean clothes on. I got the aisle seat. Am I allowed to take my shoes off?
Ooh.
I
don't think you should. If you're with your
I'm clean. Family, I smell like a baby, Harry.
If you're sitting next to strangers, no.
Can't take my
no.
Not next to a stranger.
If you're traveling with your family or friends,
yeah,
you could take them off.
Family, friends are next to me, I can do it. But,
yes.
But if I'm sitting next to rando, I can't do it.
No.
Do it every time.
No.
Don't want to fly. I feel like you have to have a sense of whether your feet stink. If your feet stink, you can't do it. I know that I've got a nice smelling odor emanating from my shoes.
You think you do. People that smell cannot smell how bad they smell. All right.
Are you saying that I smell?
No, I'm saying that if you're going by how you smell, how you think you smell, that is not a good barometer.
Mm. But I know my proximity to shower.
You don't.
Like if I was coming from the U.S. Open or something like that on the late Friday night that I like to take, then
but
I wouldn't
shoes,
do it.
But your shoes could stink in the first place. If you could have been showering for 10 hours straight,
so
you put on smelly shoes,
all right,
and you take your shoes off. That's just rude.
Oh, it is.
That's just selfish.
Yep. I agree. I completely agree. I don't think I'm going to change my habits.
That story would work on a boat as well as it would work on a plane.
We didn't get to the boat story.
No, maybe if we have time later in the show.
Great. All right. We're switching it up. So if you are on hold, we will not be talking United Airlines anymore. I think we
or
as much as I want to.
Horror stories.
I could do it all night. tonight. But well, maybe we'll get back to it. But we're moving on to Steve Johnson from your Chicago Tribune, a tribute to the Rolling Stones, the greatest rock and roll band ever.
The new exhibit is opening this weekend at Navy Pier.
Correct. I meant that should be put in there, too. Good point, Harry. 720?
I'm out of line.
720 WGN. I'll never be your beast of burden, Harry.
Will you be my pizza burning?
Sure, I would love to. The Rolling Stones, arguably the greatest rock band of all time. I don't want to have that argument. I'm just saying you could arguably say sure. They are. There is an exhibitionism coming to Navy Pier this coming Saturday. 18,000 square feet in Festival Hall that's toward the pier's east end. It's a collection of artifacts and interactive displays spanning the Rolling Stones more than now five-decade career, 50 years, Harry Tynowitz. And Steve Johnson is the culture reporter for the Chicago Tribune, and he's talked to Mick Jagger. He's talked to Keith Richards. He is in the know. Mick loves him. Keith loves him, too. And you, great piece in the Trib, Steve. Congratulations. It's such a cool opportunity, I'm sure, for you. I'm assuming you're a Stones fan getting to talk to these guys.
Just another week where I had a conversation with my good friends, Mick and Keith. You know.
How cool is that?
It was pretty awesome. It was, even though you know they have a thing they want to sell and they're doing their job, it's still like, yep, I am sitting here talking to this this legend, legend among legends, really.
How was he? How were they both?
They were both great. I talked to Richards first, and he's a little less involved in the exhibition, so he would just kind of look at final drawings and things and kind of nod his head, I think. And so he had maybe a little less to say about the specifics of it, but he was, you know, he was lucid, he was friendly, he was interested in it and tried to be engaged. I think he just didn't know as much. And then Mick, who called the next day, he had been much more, I think, hands-on with the whole planning of it. He had, you know, helped to reshape some of the exhibits they were working on. At first he thought it looked too slick, the original drawings, and kind of too reverential. So we told them to dirty it up a bit, essentially. So they added a bit like the 1963 apartment that Mick and Keith and Brian Jones shared in the Chelsea neighborhood of London. I went over and was able to see the exhibition today for the first time today. And this flat is, of theirs is every bit as grungy as advertised. Beer bottles, dirty dishes, cigarette butts, and then you get to the kind of living room area, and they have all these kind of old American blues records, which were obviously their huge influence, strewn about, scattered around the record player. So it's a pretty, it makes you think back to your own cruddy early apartments, or maybe your college living situation that you shudder now when you think about.
You know, Steve, I really enjoyed your column on Sunday. And, you know, not only do they have their flat there, but they've got the costumes. They've got the instruments. How large is this exhibit?
It is genuinely huge. I mean, I was in there probably 45 minutes, paying pretty close attention. And I realized, oh, my God, I'm not even at the halfway point yet. I mean, it's just room after room. The costumes area alone is, what would I compare it to? It's maybe two bowling alleys long.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Full costumes on either side.
So it looks like your walk-in closet at home.
It's sort of like that. Yeah, I have a little more velvet than the lads do, but you know, it's kind of like that. And then there's a whole kind of recording studio area where you can strap on headphones and listen to the band members and one of their producers talk about how they would work in the studio, which was kind of cool. You played me on with Beast of Burden, I noticed. I appreciate that, Harry. That was by request.
It was Karim's idea. Lisa's idea.
Nice. one of the artifacts. There are many, many very cool artifacts, but one of the artifacts is a master tape from back in the days when they recorded things on, you know, reel to reel. And written on the outside says Beast of Burden. So it's like the actual master tape recording of that, you know, amazing classic song. And there's a bunch of other ones, too, like that, Satisfaction, et cetera, et cetera.
One thing I was reading in your piece, Steve, was how they are, I guess, somehow putting together the apartment that these guys lived in, the flat back in the 60s, and cigarette butts and beer bottles, and I guess the only thing that wasn't duplicated was the smell. But that just is, that to me sounds like something I want to experience if I was going out to Navy Pier.
Yeah, people should pay attention to that part of it. It's one of the early rooms. It's, you know, it's a nice kind of slick introduction. It shows all their albums and songs, all these great song titles through the years. And then you kind of turn around the corner and you're put right into that early days of the band there. And I think it's pretty riveting and pretty exciting in a way, because I think that's always kind of the best part of a life story, the part where they were just normal people, and, you know, before they suddenly, whatever bolt of lightning hit them and they suddenly became famous or celebrated or whatever. And I don't know if you noticed in the interview I did with Jagger, I started saying that to him, and he said, "Or maybe we weren't normal people, or maybe we still are. You never know." So actually one of my favorite moments in there.
In for Justin Kaufman, alongside Mark Kerman, I'm Harry Tynowitz. We are with Steve Johnson on Twitter. He's at Stephen K. Johnson, culture writer for the Chicago Tribune. Big story last Sunday on the Rolling Stones exhibit coming to Navy Pier Saturday, and then he toured it today. So my daughter's a sophomore in high school, and she's into 21 Pilots. She's into Fall Out Boy. If you're a younger person, and you didn't necessarily, you know, have the Stones as your backdrop in high school and college at every party you went to, on the radio, driving home, would this appeal to the young people that may not be like the hardcore Stones fans?
You know, well, three answers to that. First, I think your daughter has time to correct her musical taste and get it going. Second, still this stuff is part of the atmosphere. It's on, you know, there's how many classic radio stations out there? How many ball games does this stuff get played at? How many movie soundtracks? So even if she doesn't, your kids don't think they know it, they know a lot of it anyway, just by kind of osmosis.
Daddy, that's the song from Goodfellas.
Yeah, exactly. Wait, why'd you watch Goodfellas? Hang on.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the third thing is, you know, take away knowing the Rolling Stones music, this is kind of a story about rebellious, ambitious teenagers who, you know, worked pretty hard, not at cleaning their apartment necessarily, but at learning to play and to write songs and kind of thumbed their nose at the establishment along the way and became rich and famous. I mean, it's kind of a classic story with, I think, pretty broad appeal.
People may forget that the Stones really have a strong connection to Chicago, a lot of blues in their music,
yeah.
Right? I mean, that resonated in your interview a ton, Steve, that they enjoyed their time in Chicago and had some pretty big creative moments here.
Sure. Muddy Waters, Willie Dixon, who, you know, were some of the big stars of the Chess label were huge influences on them. Those were the guys they tried to emulate. And when they came to America, they did their first recording sessions here in the old Chess record studio at 2120 South Michigan Avenue. I was very impressed that Keith Richards was able to pull that address out of his probably somewhat tested memory through the years.
Well said.
Right. He could. This is from a guy who at one point swore he snorted his grandfather.
That's right. Yeah. He's the one who came up with the everything but the smells quote about that apartment, too.
You know, the Rolling Stones have been known for a lot of things. And I remember reading like a story that had been written in the 60s where some guy in Rolling Stone magazine, and I, as a writer, I apologize, I don't know who wrote it, Steve,
yeah.
but someone was comparing...
We're used to that.
Yeah. Well, somebody was comparing the Beatles to the Stones, and they said the Rolling Stones, unlike the Beatles, would not be satisfied just to hold your hand.
Ah.
So is there any kind of, like, tribute to the thousands of women that the Jagger and Keith Richards and the Stones, you know, were, you know, seen hanging with after hours? Any kind of, like, is there a room filled with panties?
There are, you know, there is nothing sort of specifically about the women, you know, Marianne Faithfull, whomever. It doesn't get to the personal level of biography. It's more about the Stones and the music. That said, I think sex kind of pervades this because it can't help doing it when you talk about this band. There's a big photo with panties on the edge of a concert stage that had apparently been thrown up there. There's some, you know, naked photography from the album cover days, nude models that were used to make the some of the images. There's the for the ladies. There's some of those crotch shots that Andy Warhol used for the Sticky Fingers album cover.
Mm-hmm.
So there's definitely a realization here that on a lot of, or at least on one level, rock and roll is, especially for the young men and women now purveying it, is about sex.
Mm-hmm. I like this conversation. I feel kind of guilty, slightly taking a right turn here, but I want to have the Stones. One of my buddies was a diehard Stones fan, right?
Yeah.
He did the 270 song list, top 270 songs. Here's his top 10. Want to know what you guys think? Top 10 Stone songs of all time.
Can we each guess like one song that should be in the top five?
Sure, go ahead. Absolutely.
Steve, you're the guest. You go first.
I'll go Sway.
Sway. Interesting. Go ahead, Harry.
I'm going to say Sympathy. Sympathy for the Devil's got to be in his top five.
He's got Sway at 42.
Yeah, all right.
And he's got Sympathy for the Devil at, hang on here.
Wow, you're scrolling down much?
I'm scrolling, pal. I'm scrolling. This is his top 10. And this,
wait, Paint It Black.
Paint It Black is not in his top 10.
Moonlight Mile in there.
Moonlight Mile, not in there. Let It Loose, I Don't Know Why, Coming Down Again, She's a Rainbow, Ruby Tuesday, Jumpin' Jack Flash, Loving Cup, Out of Time, I Got the Blues, If You Really Want to Be My Friend. That was 1 to 10.
He's leaning early.
Yeah, he's going in the Wayback Machine, and I like that. I respect it. I'm a big fan of Ruby Tuesday.
You want to hear 11 to 20? I know you love it. You guys are diehards. 11 to 20, last ones. As Tears Go By, Worried About You, Waiting on a Friend, Time Is on My Side, Tell Me, Pain in My Heart, Winter, 2,000 Light Years from Home, It's Not Easy, Moonlight Mile.
Okay, I'll agree with Moonlight Mile.
You know, like,
I think he's missing a lot of the great, the great middle period of the Stones, Beggar's Banquet, Let It Bleed, Sticky Fingers, the kind of 68 through 75 that really made them super, super, superstars.
Yeah.
I love Bruce Springsteen, okay? I mean, I love, adore Bruce Springsteen, but is there a greater frontman in the history of rock and roll bands than Mick Jagger?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, what a natural showman and what a natural bad boy, and yet, you know, he wasn't just that. He was capable of singing really effectively and powerfully, and writing great songs in partnership with Richards. And he was this is a big thing. He was an adult enough to be able to keep it together for many decades, you know, he was basically the head of the business head of the band, and he's I think one of the reasons they continue as an enterprise.
18,000 square feet exhibit, Festival Hall. More importantly, you should read Steve Johnson's piece in the Tribune. Mick and Keith get satisfaction from the Stones exhibit. If you're a Stones fan, you want to read the piece. It's you got great stuff in here, Steve.
And we have one more quick plug.
Yeah.
Tomorrow online, my piece about the exhibition will be up, and it'll be in Friday's newspaper, the print edition. Buy it at your newsstands. Help send my kids to college.
Yes. Yes.
On Twitter, Stephen K. Johnson. Read him at Stephen K. Johnson. Read him in the Tribune. Steve Johnson, always a pleasure. Thanks for coming on WGN Radio and for, you know, in for just a couple of days. Wonderful to talk to you. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it.
All right. 720 WGN. WGN. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Harry Tynowitz. With you till 11, Justin Kaufman out tonight as we sit in on the download. Hope Justin is enjoying his time away. So it is National Grilled Cheese Day. Harry, you called me up this morning and you said what?
I said in my best ESPN 30 for 30 voice, what if I told you that the best grilled cheese sandwich in the world is made right here in Chicago in a restaurant that's been open for 96 years.
Yeah. And then what'd you say?
I said, we should have the chef on from the Green Door Tavern because it's National Grilled Cheese Day, so we should have Jorge on.
And Jorge Gomez is in studio with us right now. He's brought us grilled cheese.
Not just grilled cheese.
Not just grilled cheese.
These are the world-famous Green Door Tavern triple-decker grilled cheese sandwiches.
Three slices of bread, 8 pounds of butter, and just an absolute delicious French fry to come along with it. Jorge, thank you so much for coming down. And the sandwich, I just crushed the whole thing in about 2 minutes. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
What is the
finished yours already?
I didn't quite finish it, but I got pretty deep, Harry. I attacked. Rob Martier up in the newsroom was ridiculing me from above. You're attacking that sandwich, which I was, because I mean, Jorge, it's just that delicious. What is the key in your mind to making the best grilled cheese? Of course, don't give away any secrets that the Green Door Tavern would not want you to give away here.
Well, I started working there almost 30 years ago, and the grilled cheese, it seems to go far back than that. So we did some modifier on it, like play around. We came up with, like, we used two different types of bacon,
mm-hmm,
and four different types of cheese.
Two different types of bacon, four different types of cheese, Harry. This is not what you get at home, pal.
No, at home I put a couple of Kraft singles on a bagel in the microwave, and that's grilled cheese.
On a bagel?
Well, if you toast the bagel.
Okay, so, that's aggressive,
Jorge,
but okay.
Jorge, how did you get the idea to make it a triple-decker?
Well, it's been a triple decker,
uh-huh,
since history of the Green Door. But it was like they used to use a different bread. So my boss now, he said, let's play around with that. So we went white bread, rye bread, white bread.
Nice.
So it's a combination of flavors in it.
So you're coming up on 30 years as the head chef at the Green Door Tavern.
It's really good, Jorge.
And would you say that this is the most popular item there on your menu?
Well, you could say 50-50, yes.
50, what else ranks? What else could possibly compare to this gorgeous delicacy?
Mm.
Well, you have to try our burgers.
Well, what's the name of it?
Bootlegger Burger?
Bootlegger Burger. Fantastic.
Oh, that's popular.
Very, 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 very popular.
Mm.
You know, I saw this grilled cheese on Man vs. Food.
Yes.
And Adam Richman came in. Did he finish it? And what was his challenge? Just to eat one in 12 seconds? What was it?
Something like that. And they did the United States of Bacon show at the Green Door Tour. It was done in my kitchen with my boss in it.
So now, when you're at home and you get hungry, do you all, being the head chef at Green Door, do you, like, prepare things? Or do you ever just, like, grab some bread and some ketchup and make a sandwich?
No. At home, we eat, like, I'm from Guatemala. My sister, her mom, we live together, so she likes to cook native home. But we do some things, like, we do a grilled cheese for us at home, but not the way it's done at the Green Door, no.
All right, now, my friend Tom, my oldest and dearest friend, you're really enjoying that sandwich.
So good. Well, you know, somebody's got to appreciate what's going on here. You're letting it get cold. I'm seizing the moment. Continue
That's
on.
That's the way to do it.
Thank you, Jorge.
My friend Tom, Tom Clark, he since he was in like grade school, his favorite meal, tomato soup and grilled cheese sandwich.
So delicious. Yes.
So if I were to dip this delicious grilled triple-decker grilled cheese sandwich in a little ketchup, would that be wrong? You're the chef. You tell me.
It might be wrong.
Jorge, it's wrong. It's flat-out wrong.
Right now, if you want to do that, you can come in on Saturday and Sunday.
When you're not there. When
yes,
you need
I am.
To make it. Oh, you're there. Okay.
I am on Saturday and Sunday. We serve in brunch. We do grilled cheese and tomato soup.
Oh, you do the grilled
tomato
cheese.
Tomato bisque.
Sounds good.
See, that's legal. You can dip it in the tomato soup.
Yeah. So what is your favorite sandwich? What is the best sandwich? If you're just like having a
pure sandwich?
Yeah, sandwich. Like if you're just having a sandwich, what are you going to
add? That's tough, Harry. That's I mean you're talking about just an experience that I look forward to. I mean, I had a peanut butter and jelly today. I had a turkey and Swiss today. I've had a grilled cheese today. I don't need a whole lot in my life. Your tuna salad is delicious to me, an egg salad, chicken salad.
How about a tuna melt?
Tuna melt is delicious. I mean, I am not picky, but this is an exquisite, worth the trip to the Green Door Tavern, which is, by the way, very centrally located right by the Ohio Street exit ramp as you're leaving out of the city. You can have a little grilled cheese on your way out, that type of thing, right?
Yes.
I could give you the address, too, if that would help people. 678 North Orleans right there for you. Of course, you know, I've been to the Green Door. I've had dates at the Green Door. The sandwich has gone better than the dates. So thank you for that, Jorge. This is how I'm a fan of the Green Door.
Do you have any knowledge of like how many triple decker grilled cheese sandwiches you guys sell in a year? They give you any numbers or stuff like that?
I should have got that for you.
Just make something up.
I will say
2 million.
Sure.
Probably.
Chicago's oldest tavern, 1921. 1921, Harry.
Chicago Fire was 1920, right?
Okay.
Not the soccer team.
Not the soccer, right. The actual big Chicago Fire, 1920, okay.
And this place used to be a speakeasy, right?
We still have the speakeasy. Now it's called the Drifter.
Very, very nice.
Open Wednesday to Saturday from 5 p.m. to 2 a.m.
See, let me ask you this, Ari. Do you have the milkshake option? Because, you're looking at me, I think the answer to that is no. So, okay, for me, growing up, the grilled cheese was like an afternoon, 2 o'clock, late lunch with a chocolate shake, a little vanilla ice cream, chocolate syrup situation with a little French fry. Your situation's different. You're at a bar, so it's a different feel. But that's my number one accoutrement to your grilled cheese is the milkshake. I'm enjoying it right now. But if I was going for the upper level last grilled cheese meal, I have to have my milkshake with it.
You can order the chocolate milk.
Okay, there we go. We can get chocolate milk. That's in the ballpark.
I wonder if a prisoner on death row, you know how they get a last meal? You know, a prisoner on death row who's been sentenced to like the chair.
If they had given David Dow on the United Airlines flight, if they had just shown him a grilled cheese, he would have gotten right up and left the airplane.
Well, usually guys ask for, steak and lobster. I wonder if anybody ever asked for, the triple-decker grilled cheese sandwich.
Well, that would be like a perfect little side / appetizer with the steak. You can have both, right, Harry?
Yeah, this ain't no appetizer.
No, it's not, but I mean, you know, it's your last meal. You might as well go for the whole ball of wax. Okay, well, I mean, I think we're hitting on all cylinders, Jorge. How many of these do you eat a week?
Do I eat?
Yes.
No, I have to watch my carbs. Yeah. I have to try them once in a while. Sure, the quality.
Just to make sure it's still as good as it looks, right?
Yes.
Okay. I have a friend that was a chef, and he started cooking with putting liquor into the, he made something in wine, then he made steak with Jack Daniels, then he started drinking all the liquor. You know, what's the craziest thing you ever made? What's the wildest thing you've ever come up with in your kitchen?
I have made so many things all these years that don't know, probably I would say something that I like to do, and it's really good, jambalaya.
Mm. Oh, jambalaya is good.
Love a good jambalaya.
Really good jambalaya. We're not making it now, but that was really good.
Yeah.
People still ask for it.
All right. Hey, I would. You can't find good jambalaya just anywhere, so that's maybe you should bring it back. I don't know. Seems like something that could work.
Basically, most of our stuff is the stuff we make there is homemade.
Yeah.
At the Green Door,
I'm coming in for the burger, Jorge.
I'm better in. Come in, and you got my card.
I do right here. And a cool shirt, by the way. Thank you so much.
And I like your, I love the chef shirt, you know, with his name on it and the logo. Like, you know, if you're a single guy, Carm, you might want to borrow that chef shirt.
I bet chefs get a lot of women. Little Chicago flag. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. There we go. And you got your beautiful granddaughter, Emily.
I believe niece now, right?
Niece.
I'm sorry. I said granddaughter earlier.
I could ask myself. Emily, thank you so much for coming in. I'm sure Jorge would make you a grilled cheese, too, I would think. But she said no earlier. Not into it.
And thanks.
Tell them what you like.
Yeah, what do you like, Emily?
The chicken fingers.
Are you shy?
Chicken fingers.
Ooh, the chicken fingers. I love good chicken fingers with barbecue sauce and a honey mustard. A little combo, Harry. Huh?
Uh-huh. Ketchup.
There you go. Hey, Jorge, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
It was most definitely our pleasure, so we appreciate it.
And thanks very much to Lou Waddle, Commander-in-Chief at the Green Door Tavern, for letting Jorge slip over here. And my daughter is going to be so excited that she's getting
some sandwich. And thank you guys for having us, and hope it's not the last time.
No. We'll see. We'll see you
Friday afternoon about 3.
Yeah, you might be on the station again before I am. You never know, Jorge. Thank you for coming.
Got it. No, thank you so much.
Thanks, Jorge.
Happy National Grilled Cheese Day.
National Grilled Cheese Day. The best way to do a grilled cheese. If you got a tip, we'll give away tickets to
Mary Poppins.
To Mary Poppins.
Or just like your craziest sandwich. Do you have like a family sandwich?
Okay.
Do you have a crazy sandwich?
Most creative, most delicious, most basic, however you want to play it. If you can wow us, we got two tickets for you to Disney's Mary Poppins playing now through May 28th at the Mercury Theater, Chicago. How's that work for you, Harry?
Either I'm just like, you know, throwing out possibilities.
And I'm jumping on board. I'm on your train, baby. I like the way you drive.
I want to
fly with you. I want to ride down the tracks with you, buddy.
I just want to hear Rob give us more lyrics from Mary Poppins.
That's possible, too. I don't see Rob right now, but I'm sure Rob is somewhere, and he'll do that for you. Hey, it's quick timeout time, 720 WGN. Well, I'm going to need that workout tomorrow morning. Appreciate Jorge Gomez and Green Door Tavern and you, Harry Tynowitz, the National Grilled Cheese Day. It's delicious.
Well, thanks to, you know, we live in the greatest city in the world for so many reasons. We have the greatest people in the world. We are a blue-collar town that works hard and plays hard. I will put Chicago theater up against New York theater any day of the week with Steppenwolf and Goodman. Don't give me that look.
I'm giving you that look.
North Light.
I'm giving
Remy
you that
Bumpo
look. To New York.
Yeah. Yeah, the Chicago theater is awesome. And our museums, our culture, and the restaurants here, New Yorkers, forget about it. We have awesome restaurants here, and that happens to be, you know, I went there with my friend Tom Sheridan took me over there on Fat Tuesday, and I hadn't been there in a long time. And I'm like, oh, yeah, this is the place. I remember going over there all the time when I was in my partying days.
See this is a point of contention. I love Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Love
Chicago loves you.
And I would not want to live in New York. I want to live in Chicago. However, New York City,
mm-hmm,
we do not need to feel inferior. We do not need to feel anything. We can be competitive. But if we're talking about, like, the food, if we're talking about the theater, if we're talking about just the massive amount of just nonstop entertainment and movement and the insanity of a city that is unlike no other in the entire world, there is only one New York, man.
It's just true. And I agree with that. What I'm saying is,
So I mean, I love Chicago.
Right.
But That's New York is a separate animal.
New York is a great place to go for 4 days.
Right.
It's like Vegas in that respect.
Right.
You know, it's a great place. You wouldn't want to, live there.
But when you go there for 4 days, you're going to have better theater, you're going to have better food, you're going to have better basically everything.
Well, I don't know. I think you'll have more food. I don't think you'll have better food.
Have you ever had a BLT in New York and a BLT in Chicago? It's like it's somehow it's just better there. I don't know what they do. It's just better. It's the water. I don't know how they do it.
Where do you think there's better pizza?
I love Chicago-style pizza, but if you're going to compare a thin slice in Chicago to a thin slice in New York, there's no comparison. It's better in New York.
No, I disagree.
I disagree.
Thank you.
Disagree.
New York's best pizza, thin slice pizza, and I like thin slice pizza. I'm not a big deep dish person, but it was floppy and, like, flavorless. It was...
Okay, that's just, like, not accurate to New York pizza at all. Like,
it's her opinion. How can her opinion be wrong?
Because it's wrong. She's had, like, one slice at some bad New York pizza place, and she's just defending Chicago, and she's laughing in there, and it's wrong. It's just a wrong opinion.
But guys, for Carm, he's easily swayed. It's all a psychological thing. He goes, it's an experience, it's new, he's there. God, everything's the best.
And
it's just not.
And Mark,
have you?
There's nothing like Broadway, okay? There's nothing like Broadway. I'm not saying that like Chicago has, you know, the excitement of Broadway. Going to see a Broadway show is exhilarating. I'm just saying that the theater in Chicago, the theater in Chicago is at a level that is right there with New York.
Okay. I don't know because I don't go enough theater, so I'm going to trust you on this.
Steppenwolf goes and does Grapes of Wrath in New York. They won every Tony Award that year.
Okay. You know this area better, so I shouldn't argue it.
Go see a play at Northlight.
Me and you?
Can
we go together?
We can go together.
All right. Can we go? And then when I go to New York for the U.S. Open, and I'm going to be a ball boy this year. That's my goal. And
okay, Kramer.
I'm really going for it. That's happening. I'm trying out at bare minimum. June 23rd.
You're serious?
Yes, I am. 100%.
You can't be for real.
No, I am 100% serious.
Wait a minute. Now, I realize that you love tennis.
I want to be a ball boy at the U.S. Open, and it would be a dream come true for me.
It would look great on your resume.
I could just see Carm at the net. The ball hits the net. He goes, he takes two steps, and he pulls a hammy.
Hold on a second. Yeah. Hold on a second.
Federer and Nadal are in delay.
See, this is where we're going to go there.
Scoop the ball man off the court.
Who's getting up at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning to go see the personal trainer, Martyr? That would be yours truly. You'll be dead asleep.
No, I'll be up getting the kids ready for school.
Okay, fine. You'll be up getting the kids ready for school, but Carm's going to be sitting there with his legs wrapped in some weird thing. I will not. I am in condition. I can do this.
Personal trainer or oxygen tank technician?
Both.
Carm.
We have to break. We can talk about this after the break. Okay. I am trying out for the U.S. Open to be a ball boy. There are people my age that do it, and you are going to support me, Harry.
Yes, I want you to be a ball boy.
You too, Martyr. You're going to support me too.
I'm in, man. Go for it.
I've got some crazy, wacky stuff, like stories actually happening in the world.
I'm upset right now. I don't feel any support. I think that was disingenuous support, and I'm going to have to need a quick time out here to recover. 720 WGN. 10-11. Hope you're having a great night. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Harry Tynowitz. Keeping you up to date on the baseball. Cubs are down 1-0 in the top of the ninth. Anything happens, we'll let you know. Kevin Powell is at Wrigley Field. Depending on timing, we may check in with KP. The Chicago Bulls, Harry, they're in the playoffs, baby.
Yeah. Go Bulls.
112-73. They bombed out the Brooklyn Nets. That means they won by 27 plus 12 points. That's the 39-point win, Harry, which is less than their 25 plus 22, 47-point win.
How about that?
On Monday. So they've won by 47 and 39. 47 plus 39 is, you know how you do that easy? You go 46 plus 40, makes it a little rounded in there, and then you get an 86. 86 points they won their last two games by. If you go back in NBA history, teams that have won their last two games by a combined 86 points have always won the NBA championship.
Well, I'm very glad the Bulls won. I'm very glad we have a difference of opinion on this. You want to play LeBron because you love the fact that, you know, LeBron's the best, the Cavs are the beast of the East. But the way it works out, the Bulls are going to play the Celtics. And I think that although it may not be that great, they have a better chance to beat Boston than they do to beat Cleveland.
That's true. They do. And they were 2-2 against the Celtics in the regular season. Of course, they swept the Cavs.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see what they can do. Rajon Rondo was on the court tonight, so he's back healthy.
Don't think he wants to go back to Boston he played his whole career, started and won a championship?
Good point. And Dwayne Wade is back. And then there's that Jimmy Butler guy.
Mm-hmm.
Butler tonight led the Bulls with 25. So we'll see what happens here.
And tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, the Blackhawks and the Preds, baby.
And I'm very excited that I get to be with you. The Beat is on location Saturday from 4 to 6:30.
From the United Center.
With Brent Sopel, WGN's hockey expert, former Blackhawk defenseman Brent Sopel will be with us. And 6:30, of course, Judd Surratt's got the pregame. And then John Weideman, Troy Murray, 7 o'clock, Hawks and the Preds.
Strong list of guests coming on the Saturday show, too. David Haw of your Chicago Tribune is going to stop by.
Love D-Haw.
And Chris Heine, your Tribune,
mm-hmm.
covers the Hawks, does a great job, is going to stop by.
Anybody from Comcast?
Pat Boyle of Comcast Sportsnet is going to stop by. The Blackhawks are going to help us out with some people in the organization as well. So maybe we'll get Edzo or Troy Murray or whoever. We'll have a ton of people on.
If you're lucky enough to have tickets for the game, swing by and see us.
I think we're outside section 110.
Come on by. High five us. Say hi. Come for the other people and stay for Carmen and myself.
Right. Or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I should also mention the White Sox were a winner tonight too, Harry.
White Sox have gotten some good pitching, by the way. The bullpen's been strong, and the starting pitching has been strong.
Beat the Indians 2-1. Derek Holland now 1-1 on the year. 1 year contract. He's
a rent a pitcher.
Right.
Let's call it like we see it.
Right. This could be the. Remember when the Cubs got a rent a pitcher in Scott Feldman, and they flipped him for not a rent a pitcher in Jake Arrieta?
How about that trade?
So you never know what Rick Hahn will be able to conjure up on the South Side. So, more importantly, I know you've got things that we haven't gotten to, Harry. Well, that we have a very busy hour here, but I feel like, you know, we got to get to Harry's things. Hashtag Harry's things.
Well, I mean, you were talking about baseball.
Yes.
So last night in Seattle, mm-hmm. the Mariners sold out their new food item this year. There are things now, like the Royals have a sunny side up hot dog, which is a hot dog with a sunny side up egg on it. No, thank you. I will eat a sunny side up egg. I will eat a hot dog, but I don't want to eat a sunny side hot dog.
I'd eat that. I wouldn't eat a hot dog at the Royals game because I've been to the Royals game and their hot dogs are terrible, but a good Vienna beef hot dog with an egg, I'd eat it.
Now, there's that much of a drop-off?
Huge.
With the Royals hot dogs?
Huge. Huge. Very large. Big.
Last night, the Mariners sold out of new food item. Mm-hmm. Lisa and I were talking about it before the show. I would never eat this. The Mariners sold out of fried grasshoppers.
Fried grasshoppers. Okay, go ahead. I don't know what that is.
It's grasshoppers.
Are you serious?
That have been fried.
No.
That's what it is.
Are you kidding?
I'm not kidding. Look it up.
Fried grasshopper?
Who eats that?
Not me.
How do they sell it? Unless there were only three of them to start with, how do they sell out fried grasshoppers?
Is that a thing?
Apparently.
I've never seen that on a menu anywhere. A fried grasshopper?
Fried grasshoppers.
I know what a grasshopper is as far as a drink. It's like this green
drink. Cream de menthe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good summer drink.
I used to. Have I told you that story?
Throw another log on the fire. Tell us the cream de menthe.
It's not that great of a story. But back in the day, Harry, mm-hmm. 22-year-old at the Carm, wasn't on Twitter at that point. But I was bartending at Myers Tavern up on Lake Avenue, Glenview.
Love Myers Tavern, right there by Loyola Academy.
Yeah, my guy Gus. And so Gus, who was very particular, there's a word, he would kind of yell at me when I didn't have the proper amount of foam poured on his dab beer. Mark, not enough foam in that beer. He knew what was going on in that bar. But basically everybody would come in there, they'd get a dab, they'd get a vodka soda, they'd get a Crown on the Rocks, not a problem. I didn't know what I was doing. I wasn't a bartender. So, but his wife would come in every now and then, and he'd look at me and he'd say, Mark, make my wife a grasshopper. I'm like, grasshopper? I have no idea what that is. And if I open up the book and I read what it is, I have no idea how to make it. It's got like 7 different ingredients. There's no way I'm going to make it taste good. And just every time, somehow luckily, because a lot of times you'd be there bartending by yourself. For whatever reason, whenever his wife came in, miraculously, my bartending buddy Ken was there. And I'd be like, Ken, get that grasshopper going, would you? Thanks, buddy. Because, I didn't want to make the boss's grasshopper correctly. He had to get Ken in there. So that's my grasshopper story. One of the great stories. And if you were listening to WGN Radio right now, you're incredibly privileged to have heard that story. It's going into the Radio Hall of Fame.
The fried grasshopper at Mariners games.
Yeah.
These are a thing, and they sold out of them last
night.
You
dip them in anything?
Here's what they do. They serve these. This just sounds. As you eat them, as you take a crunchy bite of fried grasshoppers, you'll notice their eyes popping out at you, and the blade-like back legs are tickling your tongue. Then you'll have no problem enjoying these beer-friendly morsels. They've got a little chili pepper on them, and they say that they're perfect with beer.
Okay. Hey, man, they sold out. Oh, boy. They sold. I mean, when you sell out, you sell out. It's got to be. They're doing something right.
Yeah. Now, I've got another baseball story for you. All right. Here's something you can buy. A little something for that special lady in your life. MLB.com auction. You been in this site?
Yes.
They auction off things from all over, you know, the baseball world.
I've been to MLB.com. I don't know if I've been to the auction sites.
Currently.
Yes.
For sale on the MLB auction.
Okay.
Hold your horses. You're sitting down? Good.
Yes.
You can buy first base, the actual first base that was used during the 9th and 10th inning of Game 7 of the World Series.
Oh, my God.
Game 7, World Series, first base. Currently, the bidding, $4,000. $289.
It's a little steep for me, Harry.
But it's not. I mean, it's not. I thought it was going to be. When I heard about it, I thought it was going to be all, you know, $100,000. It's $4,289.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think you need to bid on that.
You think we should buy the first base for $4,000?
I think it's going to cost more than $4,000. But I think you got to talk to the powers that be at the station. Tell them what a boon it would be for the station.
Who would you propose that to? Jeff Hill, Todd Manley, Stephanie Menendez. Where are we going here?
I think Stephanie is going to look you in the eye and say, that's really out there. I love it. Okay. Then you go to Jeff Hill and you say, hey, see the money making thing. We get a sponsor. You know, we get a sponsor on board, so the station doesn't actually have to spend the money out of pocket for it. We get a sponsor and tie it into, the first base. Like,
it's a million-dollar idea right here.
Get like an insurance company, what happens if someone steals your base? Get an insurance company to buy. And then you go to Todd and you've got this neat package and you got Stephanie and Jeff going to bat for you. And you can just keep it at home on the weekends.
You're a very intelligent man.
I wouldn't say that.
You just created a scenario that can happen, but, you know... has an outside shot, so good job. Good job. Right. $4,200. You have one more?
I do have one more.
Okay, one more.
This is...
These are hashtag Harry's things. You want us to not eat grasshoppers, and you want us to buy first base from the World Series Game 7.
Yeah. Tom Herman is the football coach at the University of Texas.
Okay, yep.
Okay, he has decided that the best thing for his team is for all the football players to have a specific color of urine.
Excuse me?
Urine.
Urine.
Yes.
Right turn right there.
So what the deal is he has put up the Longhorn football hydration chart.
Oh.
In the locker room by the urinals. And he has 8 colors. And the first 3 colors are championship hydration levels. Then colors 4 and 5 are selfish teammate. Colors 6 and 7 are, listen to this, blatant disregard for your teammates. You are herded to Area 51.
This is interesting because it's true. When you are taking care of what's going on, mm-hmm. you're dealing with a clear situation. And the less you're taking
clear
care of
situation. See what he did there?
Right? The less you're taking care of yourself, the less clear your life becomes in many different ways. And if you, and I like the way Tom's thinking here, elite university, phenomenal school, great academics, great athletics, hook 'em horns, got to respect them. He wants top level urine.
Can you blame him? And the eighth one, if you're, if your color matches the color chart for number eight.
Maybe you, we should do this in radio.
You are a bad guy. If you do it in radio, you got to reverse it.
That's maybe true. That's maybe true. All right. On that note, let me just take a quick time out here. And
they were that good, huh?
Those were hashtag Harry's things. .720 WGN. Bulls are in the playoffs. I once made a grasshopper as a bartender. 773 texting in. That grasshopper story was horrible. And I'm worse off for listening and then texting a reply.
Thank you for your text.
I agree. 312 says, actually, Harry is quite brilliant. I don't know what that is in regards to, but someone thinks you're brilliant out there. And
I didn't know Mom knew how to find the station anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, so 773 wants to know, are you related to Matt Tynowitz? Is Gary related to Matt Tynowitz? I assume he means Harry. So are you related to Matt?
Yes, Matt is my youngest brother, my my 29-year-old brother.
True story?
True story.
I didn't know you had a 29-year-old brother.
Oh, yeah. He's the white sheep of the family.
You know, it reminds me of doing a show with you and somebody called up and was like your long-lost fifth uncle, and he explained his whole connection to you, and you were mortified. That was really one of the highlight moments. Harry, do you know what I'm talking about?
I sort of, kind of, vaguely remember.
It was real. It was your how unhappy you were was very humorous to me. Hey, Charlie, welcome to WGN. You got a grasshopper story or a grasshopper joke?
Hello, yes. Yeah, I hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, is this joke going to be worse than my story, Charlie?
No, it's not worse. It's way better.
Okay, let's hear
way
it.
Way better. Mark's story is going into the Radio Hall of Fame.
Let's hear it, Charlie.
All righty. Okay, a grasshopper, he goes in a bar, hops up on the counter, and the bartender's turned around the other way, and he says, you know, I'd like a drink. And the guy turns around, and he says, yo, you know, we got a drink named after you. And the bartender and the grasshopper looks at him and says, you got a drink named Fred?
Charlie!
Wow.
What?
Charlie!
I thought that was a cute joke. It's an old one, but it's...
Yeah, hey, the oldest jokes are the best jokes.
Charlie,
I like you. I like... Charlie, you brought it strong.
Charlie, the joke is on us. This is our jobs.
All right. Okay.
Thank you, Charlie.
I love listening to you, actually.
You're the best, Charlie. Thank you for calling. Right. Your jokes are welcome here anytime.
I heard a groan coming from the newsroom.
Uh-huh.
Martyr's just a cold glass of water, you know? He's always just... You know, we're trying to have a party here, and then there's
Hey,
Martyr.
Man, go for it. Light them up. Rack them.
You telling me that joke is... You telling me if Justin Coffin was listening to what we're doing for his ratings right now, he would be like, that's it.
I'm coming home early.
I think we might not be helping him in the ratings, but we're definitely helping Justin Coffin's job security.
Thank Charlie, great call. Loved it. 720 WGN. Okay, so I'm having a little bit of a freak out. I literally just realized this in like the last tenth of a second. I am, I gotta pause. I'm taking care of my brother's dog, hashtag Luna the dog. And so I went home from my job at Fansided today at about 1:30 and took out Luna the dog. And I wanted to have a conversation tonight, actually, at some point along the lines of, what do you do? Like, I was having a conversation with my next-door neighbor, and we were talking, and then I just, like, shut the door and left to go back to work. And I didn't say goodbye to Luna the dog. So I felt kind of guilty that I hadn't said goodbye to Luna the dog. Because, you know, I saw one last look, and she's like kind of like, I didn't give her any love. So I felt bad about it. But then I was actually talking to someone, and maybe a dog person can verify this. You're not supposed to make a big deal about leaving. So you're not even supposed to say goodbye, because you just do normal things, then you leave, and then so then they know that you're coming back. It doesn't have to be some big event every time you go. Somebody told me that. I don't know if that's right or not. 312-981-7200. But here's the thing, Harry, and this is a true story that I didn't think of until like the last second. I was supposed to text my neighbor to take out Luna the dog, because I was going to go home from work to take Luna the dog out one more time, and I did not text her. So Luna the dog is going on a good 9 hours before I get home, and Luna the dog hasn't had dinner, and Luna the dog could be dead. I'm sure she's fine, but she definitely could have done something in the house, and I'm sure she's hungry, and I feel bad. So I might have to leave the show early, Harry. Are you all right doing the final 20 minutes here? I messed up with Luna the dog.
You had one job.
I have more than one job, Lise.
With the dog, though. That's a life.
But Lise, you know, the way the story started is I thought he was going to say that he forgot to put her back in the house.
Oh.
No, she's in the house.
She's in the house, she's crying, looking at her bowl.
And I normally, when I'm gone at night, I leave a light on for Luna the dog.
So the house is dark.
House is dark.
Did you leave
text
a sign?
Text your neighbor that you were talking to earlier.
Did you leave a sign, break in, no one home?
No, I didn't do that. I'm in a condo building. It'd be hard to break in.
Well, hey, Carm.
Yeah?
Guess what?
What?
Doesn't matter.
You think it matters?
The dog doesn't realize it. They don't know.
The dog's probably sleeping.
Yeah. She's hungry. She's not going to die.
The dog has fallen. You don't think the dog has done something in my house? I guarantee you this dog has done something in my house.
Yeah, but I mean, it doesn't. Whatever. You clean it up and you move on.
It's interesting that instead of going to your brother's place to take care of the dog, that you brought the dog home. That shows love and affection. Ignoring the dog, leaving it, not feeding it or giving it water, and having it go to the bathroom on itself, that not so much love there.
I mean, first of all, my brother would never let me stay in his place. They don't trust me to be in a nice apartment like his, or condo, whatever you want to call what he's got going on. Second of all, yes, I feel terrible. I feel bad.
You shouldn't. It was an honest mistake. You didn't do anything bad. I would text the neighbor now.
312 texting in, Luna pooped all over your floor, car. Bet on it.
I say goodbye to my dog.
Do you say goodbye?
And I give him a treat. Okay, and a good old pat on the head. And then he's a boxer, so he's perpetually frowning.
312-98.
There's always some tears in his eyes.
312-981-7200.
Same thing with Carm when his date's late.
Oh, easy. 3-1, that's true, though. 312-981-7200. Do you say goodbye to your dog? What do you do, Esmeralda?
I have a cat. And sometimes when she comes to see me leave, I'll go, bye. Or I'll just yell. Most of the time, I'm just trying to make sure I didn't lock her in a closet.
That's good.
Because she'll sneak into the closet or into a place where she won't have her food. And it's more peace of mind, so I know she's not stuck for 8 hours in a closet. Huh. And then poops on the floor.
I mean, I've been going like this week. I've been like, Luna, I will be back in 3 hours. In 3 hours, I'll be back. Like, I feel like she understands when I say 3 hours. And then when I give the, Luna, I'm going to be gone a while. You're going to be good. You're going to be good. I'm doing radio tonight. I'm going to be gone a while. Like, that's what I'll tell her on Friday when we fill in.
I think she just heard, womp, 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 womp.
Like Charlie Brown's teacher?
I think so. She's a dog.
You know, Mark, they say, they've done studies, and they say that
I can't believe I forgot about Luna the dog.
They say that dogs don't really have a concept of time. But I think that applies to, like, when, you know, their master left, you know, how long it's been. But I think, like, when it's time to go, they probably know it's time to go.
I mean, I pushed it to the last time I took her out. We were one step out the door, and she was like, ooh, there's the first piece of grass. I am ready and out. I mean, it was, like, perfect timing.
With kids, you're not supposed to say goodbye. With young kids, you're not supposed to say goodbye. Mommy and daddy are going. You just slip out the door.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. With kids. But I don't think that necessarily transfers over to dogs.
So, but the kid knows that the babysitter is over. You don't say goodbye to your kid.
Look, there's going to be a time when the kid wants to hang with the babysitter more than mom and dad. But no, you don't say goodbye to young kids because they go nuts when they see mom and dad leaving.
773, thank God you don't have children.
Now.
262, stop by Petco, buy some bones. Don't dogs forgive? This dog can't have bones. Mouths the whole thing and then pukes it up.
Well, what else could you bring it?
I don't know. My loving personality. You were on probation from last year, Carm. You're fired from three.
What'd you do last year?
Last year I was.
Oh,
last
my
year,
God. There's another story?
Last year was a whole other incident. It wasn't really. Apparently when I was walking her, she like ate a crab apple or something. I wasn't paying close enough attention. And then at 2 a.m, she was like yelping in her cage. Now she's not in the cage anymore. She's I let her go wherever she wants. We've been sleeping in the same bed. It's been great.
How silent to the lamb of you.
What kind of dog is this?
It's a labradoodle. The old labradoodle there.
Someone from 773 says, thank God you don't have children.
Yeah, I read that one. It's not nice. Why are you giving a mean face to the labradoodle there, Esmeralda? You labradoodle hater, you.
It's very...
uppity?
Well, one...
They paid for this animal. They didn't go to a shelter.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
I hear your judgment, and I'm with you, but they didn't want the shedding dog, so they went labradoodle.
Wow.
Dog doesn't shed.
Sure. Great excuse.
Oh, well, you know
so,
what?
So, wait. I'm very interested in this opinion. So...
You have to get a dog that doesn't have a home. A lot of people believe that.
But you can't hold it against the dog. You can hold it against the people.
That's what
maybe.
She's doing. She's holding it against my brother.
Yeah, I'm judging your brother real hard.
She's crushing on my brother, who's one of the greatest guys going, and his wife. And you might as well just throw my niece in there. You're killing on the whole family because they didn't want a dog that sheds.
The Obamas, yeah. they had Portuguese water dogs. And one of the main reasons was the dog doesn't shed. I think that's a very good reason to have a certain breed of dog. A shedding dog turns your house into a, you know, into like a fur pit.
Then don't have a dog.
Right. Well,
it's a dog.
No, you can have a dog that doesn't shed. There are people, I know someone's got a hairless cat because they're allergic to cat hair. They love cats, but they can't have cats anymore.
No,
so
no
have
one
a hairless
should,
cat.
No one should have a cat, except for cat people. But they should. I'll tell you one thing. In the dating world, you get on the Bumble, you get on the whatever, you got a cat in the situation. That's a lefter. Left all day. You're out, 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 out. Don't care what you look like, how much money you make, or how old you are. You got a cat, allergic, weird, out.
On the Bumble.
Esmeralda, that's just because you went at my brother. I'm kidding.
Well, also, I think it's funny that you said, I don't care how much money you make.
Well, I'm just giving every quality that anyone would look at. Like, mm-hmm. People, like, they look at the looks. What kind of jobs
is
do they
that
look
one of
at?
Your qualities? When you are thinking about dating a girl, you want to know how much money she makes?
Yeah, more be rich. I'm poor. I'm in radio. Make lots of money. Absolutely. Is that a problem?
No. I have a friend that has...
I'm in deep trouble.
I'm
in deep trouble right now. Who would rather... Yes, go ahead.
I grew up in a house that had dogs. Okay?
Esmeralda and I used to be friends. Now we're like, she hates my family and I've attacked her cat. This is terrible. This is a bad development. Who decided to do this segment?
I grew up in a house. I'm a dog lover. And people that are not pet owners don't understand what it is, you know, to have a pet, to lose a pet. It's like someone in your family died. So we had a dog for a long time and he passed. And my brother went out the next day and bought a new puppy, same breed.
It's too soon.
It's way too soon.
It's like, too soon. You got to mourn the dog.
What do you do when I die? Go out and get a new brother?
Right.
My other brother
feel
goes
the
out.
Pain.
My other brother goes out and buys a female dog, same breed.
Okay.
Okay, so this is like right when my youngest brother moved out of the house, went to college. So my mom, after having four kids, is an, you know, empty nester now. Folks are divorced. The two dogs eventually mate, and she has puppies. We say, Mom, time to give away the puppies. It's been about 8 weeks. She goes, I'm not breaking up this family. We had five dogs. Then we had seven dogs. Then we had eight dogs.
Oh, my God. Know, dog like, competition.
It's like a bad sitcom.
Yeah.
But they didn't shed. I mean, I can't, Esmeralda, there's a big deal why you wouldn't want a dog that sheds.
Yeah, but they're dogs. They're animals. They shed.
312, on this day in history in 1861, the Civil War began. It's me and you, Esmeralda. We're reliving the Civil War right now.
I'm just saying, if that's a big thing, don't get a dog then. get an animal.
262.
Get a fish.
262. Esmeralda didn't leave the dog all day. Team Esmeralda.
I mean, I leave my cat like for a day and a half. Well, she's fine. She's not going to die.
Because it's a cat.
It's a cat.
They still have to eat, but, you know, it's a day. Have you gone a day without eating? I think you're fine. You're not going to pass out and die.
815 Luna. I'm into dogs. Best not to make a big deal about leaving. Creates anxiety. No dinner is fine because if the owner's gone, they don't eat as much.
Mm-hmm.
I'll feed her when I get home. She may have had an accident. Don't scold her. All is well. Right? There will be no scolding.
Right. There'll be no scolding.
There will be no scolding. I will. If there's any scolding, it'll be to myself. I'll say, Luna, I'm really, 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 really sorry. I'm really sorry. I know you tried your best.
Luna the dog might scold you.
Luna the dog should scold me. Okay, now that we did our Luna the dog segment, I feel mostly better.
When you are just alone, do you go, Luna?
We have some deep conversations. I go 3 a.m. Luna talk. Luna?
You're a lunatic.
Luna, I'm glad you're here. Luna, no one's been here at this time of night in oh so long. Luna, what am I doing wrong in life? And then she just looks at me and gives no answer, and that tells me everything. All right, this is our last time out. Patty Vasquez is coming up with Pretty Late at 11, 720 WGN. Team Esmeralda on the text line here. That cat hater dog ignored guy's total jerk. Esmeralda's correct on everything. That cat thing works in reverse in the dating world. If a guy says he has a cat or loves cats, he gets a date that night and multiple date offers. So you will die from a sad and lonely life because you deserve to.
That's better, though, than having a cat.
The 314 does not like me. Esmeralda, that guy's on your side.
Because I'm right.
There you go. Oh, thank you for all the kind texts tonight, too. We got a bunch that have enjoyed the program. So it's been enjoyable to fill in tonight for Justin. We're back on Friday. Of course, tomorrow night is Blackhawks hockey. Patty Vasquez just walked in. She's wearing her Cubs jersey. She was in big-time seats tonight out at Wrigley. Of course, Cubs did lose to the Dodgers 2-0.
Reminds me of the Kershaw game from the playoffs.
Right. I mean, 5-3 after 8 games. You can't complain, right, Harry?
I still predict they'll start out 24-6. The first 30 games, 24-6.
Okay, that's aggressive at 5-3 now.
It's okay.
And they got a lot, you know.
Sticking by my team. Nah. Sticking by the boys in blue.
When's your first game? When are you going?
I'm going, I was going Sunday, but I get to do the show with you now. Easter Sunday. So Monday night, I believe, is my first game, unless we go Friday.
Who's taking your tickets? Sorry.
That's a good question.
I just got very excited.
That's a good question.
No, I'm excited. It was very fun to be at the park tonight.
What was the highlight of being at the park tonight, Patty?
It was the ring ceremony. I started crying.
Did you?
And when they were lining up in the infield, I mean, like, I took pictures of them, you know, because we could see them from behind with those gold numbers and their names. And, yeah, I was crying.
Yeah, how cool are those gold numbers?
It's cool. These are the only two games they're going to wear, they?
No. They can wear it the whole year.
Oh, really?
They're the only team that gets to wear them.
But how long do you wear that through the season, do you think? Well, we'll see, right?
Right. I mean, first of all, you can sell them all year. So it's for people that have Cub jerseys, they can go out and buy another Cub jersey. But you can wear it the whole year because you are the World Series champion. It's a fairly new thing baseball.
But then the whole team has to agree to wear them.
I think they're going back to the regular numbers.
They can wear them later in the year.
Can they stop wearing the pajama pants?
You like the shorter?
I don't like the pajama pants. I like the knees. I don't know. Stirrups, the whole thing.
That's personal preference.
I know. But they're all wearing pajama pants tonight.
Lisa's saying that we should break because your show's coming up next. Do you have anything more you'd like to say right now at this very
moment?
It was
a great game. Sorry we lost, but I left before we lost. Well, I had to come to work.
You can't be
blamed.
I'm thawing out a little bit.
We got to watch opening night together.
Yes, we
courtesy
did.
Courtesy of you.
Yes. And Marie's Pizza and Liquors over there on Lawrence Avenue.
It was a great time.
Whenever there's a Sunday afternoon game, come join us.
So we're 0-2, though, on days that the Cubs play when I see you. We have to change that, Patty.
Okay.
I don't exactly know what we need to do.
I think they need to change that.
That's right.
There's nothing we can do.
That's exactly right.
Love you on Chicago Med.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I have another episode coming up on Chicago Fire. I'm not sure when yet. I should probably know these things. Yeah.
Cool. Well, I'll be looking for you.
Thank you.
What's going on the show tonight after you just darkened the studio and made it way more?
It's too bright in here.
We had all the lights turned on. We went big time.
We have drinkers with writing problems coming in. We have Brandon Seabright. place. Have you been there, Harry?
No. Oh, please. Please. Why, where's my 11th matchbook I wrote on?
Well, I know. That's the thing about being comics. You write on anything. Napkins, paper bags, on my hands. We have Brandon Price. The folks from Broken English, and I believe it's Wellness Wednesday, so we'll have some sort of wellness and health segment tonight.
Beautiful. I had a grilled cheese, courtesy of Harry. That was not wellness, but it was delicious.
We have tacos coming if you want some more food.
I bet you do.
Yes, we do.
I bet you do.
We have some tasty tacos.
All right, Pretty Lay of Patty's coming right up, 720 WGN.